much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
All right, here we go. Check it out. All right, good times.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Woo. I know where you at, man. You had it all. Now it's gone. It's torn a hole in your soul, big enough my Escalade. So you turn to the drugs, the alcohol, the pornography, freebasing with OJ, human trafficking, dogfight/orgies, darkness. But let me tell you something, as a man who has come through the dark and into the light, I can assure you that the will of the Lord is not limited to just me. If you need me, I'm here for you. Not just as a friend, as a brother in Christ.
And now.
This is emergency. This is emergency. This is emergency. This is emergency.
Our feature presentation.
Oh, don't tease me with him.
I know.
Come on now.
It's the last time we heard that voice.
What do we got? About another 9 or 10 months probably till we can talk to Sam again?
Legally?
Yes.
Do you think he'll talk to us?
I think so.
You think his wife will let us talk to him?
I don't know that she's in charge of him, but yeah. I don't know.
It's weird, though, because for folks who don't know, and, you know, there are many people who listen to Kevin DiBiccio who have never heard the Armenian Comedian on our show. He's a guy who had been a listener, regular fixture on our program for 15 years or so. And then he ran afoul of the law by maybe calling in some bomb threats, essentially. And we gave him every opportunity to make sure it was clear that he was kidding.
We called him back and we said, say right now that you were joking, and he made it worse.
Right.
Yeah.
So he essentially, I think, got arrested, right? And
yep.
Next thing you know, there's a restraining order against him. Now, this is what's weird. In how many cases does the person who is supposed to benefit from the restraining order watching the calendar begging for it to expire so that the person who's harassing them can come back into their lives?
Yeah.
That's not the way it usually works.
Good point. But we've been dying to talk to him, but we just can't.
We're not allowed to, which I still think, by the way, and we don't have the time or the resources or the initiative to look into it. I still think that if we initiated the contact, I'm sure it would be fine. He's not allowed to contact us, but if we contact him, I can't imagine that there's any problem. I mean, because clearly they're trying to protect us with the restraining order in the first place. You see what I'm saying?
I do.
If it's our
choice,
I feel like we should be able to talk to him.
Right. I know that you feel that way, but I'm not sure that's the way it's written.
Well, the government has gone to the expense of all that they have done. Perhaps they would not appreciate that so much either.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. But all I know is I'm with you, Lisa. I hear that voice, and it's a little sad because We used to have that kind of magic on the show all the time.
Oh, he was so sweet.
But no more. Speaking of voices we used to have on the show, I was thinking about our old friend Big Ted today.
Wow, you're going back.
You are going back.
And the reason I was thinking about it, it's not even important who Ted is, although he was a former Kevin and Bean family member also, and he died of overeating, you guys recall. Remember a few years ago? He just exploded. It was just he ate one turkey leg too many, and he just blew up is the way I recall the story.
Still alive.
But the reason I thought of it is because, you remember, I tried to help a brother out one time when he got his keys locked in his car. I tried to climb in the back of his cab of his truck and try to help him out by getting his keys out, and I got stuck, right?
Which was super funny. And
one of the funniest things ever,
and
right?
And lasted so long, it was just beautiful.
And we don't have a single photograph of it, which I'm so grateful for.
Bean was halfway in, halfway out. There was a line waiting for us, and we couldn't do anything about it.
I remember rounding the corner to go and seeing Bean there stuck in the window. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life.
I don't know I've ever laughed harder.
And if I recall correctly, I think Lightning is the one who figured out how to get us out of there because he knew that we could remove the window of the truck. And then so I'm standing there with the truck window around my waist and was able to shimmy out of it. But anyway, I bring that up to also remind you that Kevin almost got stuck in a window this week.
That's right.
This past week, because he was climbing into his house because he locked his keys out. And then I see this story, who may even be in worse shape than either of us was, Kevin. Here's a guy whose cell phone went down a storm drain. Now, there's a lot of controversy about this man's story because he claims that he was attacked and robbed by gang members, yet for some reason they didn't take his phone. But a lot of people are discounting that part of the story. But his phone definitely went down a manhole.
Okay.
And he tried to climb in after it and got stuck. So you'll see the picture everywhere on the TV. It was all over the internet yesterday, all over the TV today. I mean, he is in to the bottom of his butt. That's how deep he is into this manhole.
Feet first or head first?
Head first.
Head first.
And his feet sticking out into the street.
Sweet. That's great.
Good.
And just stuck. I don't even know if he was able to finally reach the phone or if it was too far down for him. But, you know, at that angle, when you're upside down, it's kind of hard to shimmy your way back out. I mean, you don't really have anything to push off against, maybe. I can see how you could get stuck if you went in too far, right?
You're going against gravity, the whole thing.
2 o'clock in the morning in a neighborhood, in his neighborhood. So he's just screaming his head off. And eventually, after 40 minutes, one of the other neighbors hears this noise outside and goes outside and calls the police, and they come and pull him out. But just, you can imagine just how beat up he is. I mean, just bruises all over his body, going up and down as he went through that manhole, his head and everything else.
Was it worth it for the phone?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what his story was. I mean, I would take 40 minutes of inconvenience if I lost my phone at this point, because there's a lot of stuff on it. I use it for a lot of things. But I wouldn't go in if I thought I was going to get stuck either.
Well,
in retrospect, I would have gone, okay, it was worth it. But I wouldn't have done it on purpose.
You don't ever go into a manhole on purpose if you're going to get stuck. That's what I live by.
And by the way, let me just add this final PS, because I had heard about this story yesterday and I wanted to talk about it this morning. So I did a Google search. Manhole phone is what the Google search is. I did. And like the first 20 things that come up are all about some sort of a manhole gay phone hotline. I didn't read further. I don't know what that's about.
Manhole.
Sure you did.
I'm just saying, if I drop dead now and the authorities come to my computer, you know, looking for information, when you see all the gay manhole hotline chat stuff, I was just looking for this story.
Sure, yeah. But
Beer Mug, you would know what that is. What's that all about?
Yeah, no.
Please.
It was it was news to me, I'll tell you that.
See, what's up with the world today, man? Can you believe that?
That's what I'm saying. Thank you.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin Mead Show, shall we?
I'm going to skull rape you, keep you in a cage in my basement, then dump your corpse behind Walmart.
That's just good today, isn't it?
That's just, I don't ever want to hear that again. I'm serious.
My skull.
Is it all right for the bride to crash the bachelor party?
Oh, it's probably not.
That's a rhetorical question. There's no yes or no required. The answer, no.
No.
Kim Kardashian did that. Mm. They were in Vegas. They both had their parties in Vegas. Which we started out saying is a bad idea, just because if you accidentally run into the other person.
Right.
But apparently she left hers and went to find his.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Now, it's unclear to us whether this is going to be on. I'm sure it's going to be on their show.
I'm sure it is.
I'm sure it was set up ahead of time, blah, blah, blah.
Made up drama.
But you know what it's not? It's not a bachelor party or a bachelorette party if the person you're going to marry is at the party.
Right.
It's just a party at that point.
Yeah.
And not a good one.
Right. Exactly. I mean, the whole point is, even if it's not a question of debauchery, even if it's not a question of I'm doing something I don't want the person I'm about to marry to see or know about, even if you take all of that out of the equation, it's still supposed to be you and your friends having a good time out away from your spouse,
right,
away from the person you're about to marry. That's the whole point of the bachelor or bachelorette party. So this doesn't make any sense.
So the woman shows up to the guy's party or the guy shows up to the woman's party. Both bad. Don't do that. Just don't do that. You have plenty of time to go to parties together. Is it going to kill you?
I totally agree.
Is one night going to kill you?
I think
you shouldn't be marrying that person.
It's a really bad sign if you have to show up to that party.
Also on the show today, we've been talking all week long to everybody from the X Games. We have Tanner Faust on today's program. Mm,
good.
He's fantastic. We have This Week in Rage with Adam Carolla. Come on, put something into that, man.
Yeah.
We have the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
Oh, fantastic. The best.
Just to make so happy.
Just to make him happy. He requested it. We have a brand new internet roundup for you.
It's a good one, too. And by the way, I sent a video to Dave. Perhaps the worst umpiring call in Major League Baseball history happened early this morning. And when I say early this morning, I mean it was in the 19th inning.
Oh.
And the umpire just wanted to go home.
Who could blame him?
Yeah. Can you imagine how tired you would be?
That was a strike. What are you talking about? I had to chase it back to the... I don't care. I want to go home.
Wait till you see this video. I know you don't even care about baseball.
I don't.
He called a guy safe at home plate who was out by maybe 3 feet.
Sweet.
And did that end the game?
Yes, that ended the game in the 19th inning. I mean, the runner knew he was out. He was all dejected, and then he saw the umpire, and he's like, what? And then the whole team just starts celebrating. You won't believe the video when you see it, and you won't believe the call in the booth. But we just added that as part of a terrific new internet roundup we'll be putting up in a little bit.
Let me ask this question, Bean, because I came across this last night as I was flipping around. I went across a game. I don't even remember who was playing. And they put the strike zone, a square where the strike zone is, on the TV.
Right.
So do they do that all the time?
Every game, yeah.
That doesn't drive you crazy?
No, it's great because you can also see how accurately the umpire is calling strikes or what the strike zone looks like for that particular game.
They put that up every single batter, every single pitch.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, it's very useful. And it gives you an idea of, because, look, I'm not a skilled enough baseball television viewer to be able to see where those pitchers are going. It gives you an idea of what the pitcher is doing, what his approach is, how he moves his pitchers around throughout the course of a batter. I think it's great.
Huh. All right. We also have LA Rising tickets, which I think you're going to love.
Oh, yeah.
We have quite a game today. It's going to be also a popular demand.
You can tell we've been giving away for a while now when we're down to this game.
We have Nick Frost, who's going to talk about the attack of the... What is it? Attack the block?
Attack the block, yes.
Sorry. I thought it said of the... I can't read this writing. And I don't know if you've heard all of the Rolling in the Deep covers. Everybody's doing Rolling in the Deep by Adele.
Really?
Every single person that has ever sung it has done a cover. And
it apparently is the biggest song of the year. I mean, it's the biggest hit of 2011, and for that reason, a lot of people love it, including other musical artists, so they can't stay away from it.
And not all of them are good.
Well,
surprise, surprise. So we'll take a break and come back with all of that. The Showbiz Beat is...
The band Linkin Park, along with the best-selling band in Japanese history, playing in a tiny little venue, raising money for Japanese tsunami relief. Is that something you would be interested in? Mike Shinoda from Linkin Park will tell you how you can be there. Coming up after the top of the hour here on the Kevin Bean Show. Right now, Ralph joins us for the Showbiz Beat. Hey, Ralph, what's going on?
Just think, if I really wanted to raise money for Japan, I'd put it in a big venue, sell a lot more tickets, raise more money, if I cared about Japan. Well, it wasn't just a look at me. If I cared about the country, I would raise as much money as possible.
You have to raise $500.
Right.
So not that many people can raise $500. So
okay, but if they sell it out...
Right.
Does that mean there could have been more people who would be willing to raise $500?
Just for your information, they have two venues held. Uh-huh. One smaller, one larger.
Well, where's the biggest one? Where's the third venue? Where's the Enormo Dome?
How do you know they're going to need the Enormo Dome?
Because you have to have faith and you have to raise money for Japan or else you just don't care. That's what I'm saying.
I'm saying they're doing more than you are.
Well, we'll wrestle for it later.
Well, that is a good point.
How do you know? How do you know I'm not over there lifting cinder blocks as we speak?
In Japan?
Yes.
How do I know you're not there now?
That's right.
I don't.
That's right,
really.
Sir. So I accept your apology.
All right.
Talk about showbiz news. Congratulations to Selma Blair. She and her boyfriend, Jason Blake, welcomed their first bouncing baby boy into the world on Monday. This poor girl, Selma Blair, she's been going through hell. She's way overdue for this baby. So, well, you know, you're supposed to have a baby in 9 months. That's the average gestational period for a baby.
Right.
Yeah, well, 9 months came, and 9 months and 2 weeks, 9 months and 3 weeks, 9 months and 4 weeks. Overdue to have that baby.
Wow.
Went to the hospital a couple times, false alarms. Nope, not yet. Go back home. So she finally gave birth to the baby over three weeks past her due date, and they welcomed a 7-pound, 12-ounce little boy into the world named Arthur.
Arthur.
You don't see many Arthurs anymore. Arthur's making a comeback. Good old Arthur.
I'm surprised the baby didn't weigh more, by the way, with as much time as he gestated. There was a year and a half old when it was born.
He was baking in there a long time.
Arthur was, too.
Congratulations, Arthur. Welcome to the world. Sorry we effed it up so badly before you got here. Maybe you can help us. Carrie Mulligan, the lovely and talented actress, is, by all accounts, engaged. We don't have a confirmation, but she is wearing a monstrous diamond ring on that finger. And she has been stuck like glue to her boyfriend-slash-fiancé, Marcus Mumford. That's right, you may remember the name. Because he is the lead singer of the band Mumford and Sons.
What's it like when he comes home from work and he wants dinner, Ralph?
That's how these two guys met. They were playing a show in Nashville, Tennessee. And she came to the show, and they met backstage, and the next thing you know, it was love at first sight. So congratulations to Carrie and Marcus. I just got engaged. I gave Carrie a big diamond ring, and I hope
that we'll get married someday soon.
Someday soon.
That would be exhausting to live with him, wouldn't it?
Imagine living with that.
Can you find the remote? Because it's time for my favorite show. And if I don't watch Jersey Shore, I won't know what's up with Snooki. I won't know what's up with Snooki.
A lot of that around that house. Star Jones was doing a book signing this week. First of all, who wants to read a book that Star Jones wrote?
That's a great question.
But people were lined up.
And then who wants her signature?
She was signing books, and she was being all, look at me, it's all about me, it's all about me. And it turns out it all was all about her. Because
Fatty?
The person in line stepped up and didn't have a book in their hand. Instead, they had legal papers in their hand, and she got served right there during the signing.
That's rough.
It's awesome. Are you kidding me?
It is because it's her, but...
By all accounts, she was noticeably upset. Of course she was. Can you imagine something like that for her, where it's all about her, and she gets to primp and be this focus of attention, and then it just turns on a dime, and suddenly she's being served with papers in front of everyone as they walk.
Y'all just mad, because today, you suckers got served.
Microphones were at the book signing, apparently.
It's everybody else in line.
She was served by Al Reynolds, her ex-husband.
No, she was not.
She was indeed.
For what?
Well, the two of them, in their divorce settlement in 2008, had an agreement where they no one was allowed to make disparaging remarks about the other. That was part of their agreement.
Right.
And she went on the Wendy Williams show saying her marriage to Al was kind of booty.
Okay.
What's that mean?
I don't know. I don't speak black. But it's not good, according to Al Reynolds.
I don't think it's a positive.
I don't think it is either. And he said that was a disparaging remark. Pay me, bitch.
Wow, he's listening closely.
Wow.
No kidding.
That was one comment.
Well, look, he's been waiting his whole life for this payday, I'm sure. So he probably watches everything she does, just waiting for the slip up so he could serve those papers. Now she's being sued.
I was going to say, why didn't he hire a process server? But in this case, maybe he wanted to see personally the look on her face.
Oh, no, I meant he served her the papers. I didn't mean he physically served her the papers. He was behind the lawsuit of which the papers were served.
Oh, it wasn't him at the event.
No,
okay.
He didn't serve his own papers.
That's why I was so confused.
You think he's like hiding behind someone? Don't let her see me.
She'll recognize me because we used to be married.
This is going
to
be awesome.
Surprise! Here are your papers.
Hey, honey.
Al Reynolds.
Yes. That's a useful piece of tape right there.
I never thought it would be until today.
It's not. It still isn't. Don't get the wrong idea.
Al Reynolds.
I've already said it was Al Reynolds in the course of the story. I don't think we need that identification.
I am not a homosexual.
Okay. Now that is a useful piece of tape. While we're talking about books and celebrities, Denise Richards has got a new book out in stores called The Real Girl Next Door. It's all about her life as an actress.
Hey, she's a doctor, man. She's Dr. Christmas Jones. Don't mock her.
None of those things. She doesn't really tell anything about her split with Charlie Sheen, which is really why you would read that book even remotely, right?
That is all anyone
cares about. I was saying, I have no interest in...
Here's basically what she says, and I quote, "Shortly after becoming pregnant with our second daughter, Lola, our marriage changed drastically. It came out of the blue. It was more than a rough patch. These issues are so personal, I don't want to divulge exactly what changes occurred." Well, then don't write a book!
On to the next chapter.
Yeah.
I'm beautiful. And I played a doctor.
She does talk about her four boob jobs, though.
Four?
Yeah. First one was because she thought her A cups were too small for Hollywood.
All right. She was right.
Which is true. Second was, this is hilarious, she went in to have the size of her implants reduced. But against her orders, the doctor increased the size of her implants.
That's what they do.
They do. Doctors are sneaky. They never do what you ask of them.
You know what? She wants them to go smaller, but let's make them bigger.
I went for an appendectomy once. They took out my lung just because they felt like it. They do whatever they want, those doctors. They never listen to what you request.
The doctor said,
overruled.
That's right. Third was to finally get the reduction that she said she wanted the second time around.
Okay.
And then the fourth was to replace a ruptured implant. So she's had some boob problems.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because Charlie was using them as speed bags. That's why. Today's celebrity birthdays, Jerry Van Dyke, one of the stars of Coach, a very funny actor and brother of Dick Van Dyke. He's 80 years old today. Happy birthday, Jerry. Juliana Hatfield, singer-songwriter, is 44. Julian McMahon of Nip Tuck is 43 years old. WWE wrestler Triple H celebrates his 42nd birthday. Comedian Maya Rudolph is 39. Abe Cunningham, drummer for the Deftones, 38 years old today. Abe's another name we don't hear nearly enough of anymore.
Yeah.
Abe and Arthur.
That's
true. I hope they're coming back. Pete Yorn is 37. Alex Rodriguez of Yankees fame is 36. And Jonathan Rhys-Meyers, who I'm sure is in a bar as we speak, celebrating his 34th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
The hilarious, am I on? Yes. The hilarious Nick Frost, who, of course, is Simon Pegg's best friend, and they appeared in tons of movies together, has got a new one out that is just getting rave reviews, just a huge word-of-mouth hit. And he'll be joining us in about 15 minutes or so to talk about their new movie coming up here on the Kevin Meach. Also, the Wheel O' Bad Animal Voices. And it's Wednesday. That means our friend Adam Carolla, This Week in Rage, coming up, too.
I don't know how this happens, but every year it seems like there's that song. There's one song that just permeates society everywhere. Every radio station plays it regardless of their format. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
It's so huge that everybody starts covering it. And for this particular time, it's Adele's Rolling in the Deep. We could have had it. So we play that, we play that, we play that. Now all
and you make a great point, by the way, Kevin. Sorry to interrupt, but there are so few songs that come along that we play, that the top 40 stations also play, that the soft rock stations also play, that the urban radio stations also play. But everybody seems to love Adele, in particular this song. I mean, this song has been number one in almost every country in the world. Sold millions and millions and millions of copies. And what we're finding out is that even other musical acts are so in love with the song they can't stop from singing it.
The first cover that we have is Linkin Park. They were doing one of those giant festivals in England, and of course she's from England, Adele. Mm-hmm. So they did their version of this particular song. We could have had it all, rolling in the deep. You have my heart inside your head, but you played it to the beat. I got to tell you, I love when bands do that. I really like...
I do too.
You go, you hear your band, you hear all the favorite songs, but then when they throw in something like that that you know from someplace else, I really think it sounds great.
Yeah.
And listen to that crowd. Imagine how stunned they must have been at the iTunes Festival when Linkin Park started singing that. You could just hear the whole place just singing along with Chester. It's awesome.
So, changing formats now, we go to John Legend.
Oh, this is a great version.
John Legend, who has, I believe it's all a cappella. It's just a bunch of backup singers and him. We could have had it all. Your wish you never have met me. Rolling in the deep. You have my heart and soul. Your wish you love your head. Never have met me. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of that one.
It's different.
Oh, I love I'm it. Really I love John Legend, and I love that so much. I have that version on my iPod as well as Adele's. I
That's
just think it's
not
great.
A good version. But we have worse coming. Hold on.
Because, you're going to be praying for John Legend in about a minute.
Because when people start doing covers, here's what happens. When the big bands start doing the covers, then the smaller bands start learning, hey, maybe we should do a cover as well. So you've got Cage the Elephant. Could have had it all. I kind of like that one. That's not bad.
That's definitely different,
different
from the
energy.
Others, too.
Yeah, it's a different energy, and he did his own version of it. I mean, there's no reason to do it if you're not going to change it some.
Absolutely.
So, and then there's Mike Posner. Now, Mike Posner is that dude that plays with the toy keyboards. And
he's the white dude who had that, what was it, Cool Like Me?
Cooler than me.
Yeah.
You think you're cooler than me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he uses those little toy keyboards that you got, like when you were nine at Christmas, eight maybe.
Yeah.
But he never upgraded when he became a professional musician, as you would expect.
So then he decided that he needed to cover Adele's Rolling in the Deep. See how I leave with every piece of you. Boop, 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 boop. Don't underestimate the things that I will do. There's a fire starting.
Do you
have to do the robot when he's singing this? You do, right?
You don't have an option.
When he starts singing like this, you have to do the robot. The kitchen is bringing me out the dark. The scars of your love remind me of us. They keep me thinking that we almost had it all. The scars of your love, they leave me breathless. Here it comes.
could have
had. Go, Mike, go! No, go!
Rolling in the deep. You have my heart and soul in your hand.
What's happening? He doesn't even have the little boop, 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 boop keyboards anymore. Those keyboards went away.
I don't know. We need to take him and that Owl City guy and bury him both in the desert. But you played it
to the beat. Oh, see, had a little echo there at the end. Sweet. Yeah, don't stop doing that, people.
Is this Stopping America?
Well, I mean, I think I'd like to say that it's been covered. Sounds great. Glad Linkin Park did it. I'm okay with John Legend. Not my favorite, but okay. Bean loves it. I don't mind Cage the Elephant. All right. But when Mike Posner does it,
now it's over.
That should be society's sign. Like, okay, now we're done.
Right.
Well, but we haven't heard the DJ from Jersey Shore's version yet. That's still coming, right?
I'm sure it will.
Yeah. Lit on the world famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. It is 6:37. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It's Wednesday. That means Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage coming up on The Kevin and Bean Show. Also, the Wheel O' Bad Animal Voices. And we're also going to talk about Kim Kardashian showing up at her husband-to-be's bachelor party. What's up with that?
Bad things.
Weddings off, right? Isn't that the deal at that point? You should go, oh, I'm sorry. I misjudged you, my dear.
Yeah,
I'm going to have to reconsider.
If I'm the dude and she shows up, I'm like, hey, Yeah, this whole thing's off. By the way, if you're the girl and the guy shows up, same thing.
Yeah.
Same deal.
Right?
Same deal. You go, hey, if you can't stay away for one night when I'm having a party with the girls, then I think maybe we need to call this off.
Exactly. And, of course, Tanner Faust joins us every day this week on the Kevin and Bean Show. We got a different X Games guest for you because they start on Thursday, which I guess is tomorrow. All right. Very excited to welcome our next guest back to the Kevin and Bean Show. It's Nick Frost, ladies and gentlemen. He's from England, don't you know? And he's in this new film that is getting just rave reviews. Some of the best reviews of 2011. I think it's up over 90-something percent on Rotten Tomatoes right now. It is called Attack the Block, opening in limited release on Friday. Nick, welcome back to the show, my friend. How are you?
Hello, Governor. I think you'll find as well it's Rotten Tomatoes, but, you know, let's...
Yeah, sorry about that. You know, I read a quote the other day, and of course it was made up. It's not real, but somebody attributed to your queen, the beautiful Queen Elizabeth II, that there's English and then everything else that's wrong. There's no such thing as American English. There's English and then all variations are wrong. So I guess if you say it's tomatoes, we should say it's tomatoes.
That kind of sounds like something a husband might have said, to be fair.
Yeah, right. So, Attack the Block. I mentioned it's just getting rave reviews, but in the great tradition of movies without the biggest advertising budgets in the world, shockingly, there are people listening to the radio right now who still haven't caught wind of what it's all about. Nick, why don't you fill them in?
All right, let me. So it's about a group of young men, a group of youths who witness, you know, what they think is a meteorite crashing. It turns out to be the very beginning of an alien invasion, and they decide that enough is enough, and they will defend their hood. They're going to defend their block against this creature, and that's what they do.
And I'll tell you, from the trailer, it looks like the best type of movie is one that has action and believability, and you really think that the aliens are there, and there are some sincere, scary moments.
Yeah.
And it's also really funny along the way. And that seems like a really difficult line to walk. Like, a lot of movies go foul one way or the other. Either it's too serious, it's not funny enough. That's a really tough line.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a kind of school of thought at the moment which kind of goes like this. Well, if it's funny, let's it can only be funny.
Right.
Or, you know, I think it's possible, as not wanting to get too philosophical, but, you know, as in life, it can be funny and sad all at the same moment sometimes.
Right.
And I think when you can get a film that captures that, people kind of like it because it makes them, you know, it makes them think, oh, it's a bit like my own life, you know.
Right.
Right. And anyone who has seen Nick Frost in movies before, whether you saw him in, you know, Hot Fuzz or Shaun of the Dead or Pirate Radio or anything like that, you can see he's the kind of guy you want to call on to save the world. I mean, Nick definitely
absolutely
has all the skills needed to be the guy to fight back an alien invasion, right?
I try. You know, I try my best.
I love the scene in the trailer where you open the door and you ask the woman, is it safe? And she shakes her head no. And you just go, good luck.
And he closed the door. That's really upsetting. You kind of, you think about that, you think, oh yeah, it will take 5 minutes. But that it took like half a day to shoot that.
It was worth it.
Absolutely. Hey, Nick. Thank you.
I have heard that there are some very new to acting kids in this movie. What's that like to work with them when they're brand new to the business?
Well, look, I mean, I've been acting myself now for 10 years. So before that, I wasn't an actor. You know, I lived a whole life, you know, never knowing what the joy of acting was. And so I, for me anyway, it was a chance and an opportunity to kind of see me 10 years ago, so to speak. And, you know, they didn't need me to tell them what to do. They instinctively knew, and it was amazing to go on set every day and to see the kind of bond that they struck up together as young men and young women. And there was a lot of respect for them, for each other and for the crew, which was very important. And, you know, before we started shooting, Joe Cornish pulled me aside one day, who's the director, and he said, "Now, because you weren't an actor, is it possible that you could talk to them? Just give them a little talk, a few words, just to kind of
sweet
G them up before the film."
Right.
As soon as I started talking, I saw the kind of light flicker out of their eyes. And, you know, they were just completely bored. There was nothing I could have told them that they didn't, you know, that they couldn't have found out. I think the only thing I said to them was, you know, it's not just about the actors who are in front of the camera. It's about everyone on set. And, fortunately, when I came on to do my stuff kind of a month later, they knew everyone's name on set and everyone loved them. So
wow, look at that. You're raising kids in the business. That's nice. Yeah. You know, earlier this summer, we saw another alien movie with a bunch of kids called Super 8. I don't know if you saw that one or not, Nick. But
I have not seen it. It's just about to come out here.
It's so good. But you walk away, and it sounds like it's the same case in your movie, and you look at these young, young performers. I mean, some of them are, you know, 10, 11 years old or something like that, and you go, how are they that talented? How do they make it look so natural? But some kids, I mean, if you're the right casting director, you find these kids that just have it, and they know how to do it. It's crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a lot of it is to do with confidence and lack of fear.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I got to tell you.
Anything you were talking about the X Games earlier, it's like, you know, those kids, try a 50-year-old man can do that because they would overthink it terribly. But when you're 19 years old, you think nothing about trying to perform a crazy 720, you know?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And you hear those guys talk and you go, most people say, well, you know, what would happen if it didn't, if I failed? And we say, how great would it be if it did? You know, it's a whole different mindset. And that's kind of the mindset of these kids in their block, where they say, look, no one's really going to believe us, so it's up to us. Let's go kick some ass.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm sure it's like this in parts of L.A., you know, anywhere in the world, but it's very territorial.
A lot of parts of L.A.
Gang of young men or an alien invasion. They're gonna kick some butt because you don't belong here.
Right. Now, one more question for our guest, Nick Frost, here on The Kevin Amici Show. Again, talking about his film, which is getting tremendous reviews, called Attack the Block, opening in limited release on Friday. There were early reports that I saw, Nick, and please tell me if this isn't true, that they were afraid they might have to subtitle the movie because of how British it is and the slang and everything else that's used in it. That didn't come to pass, though, right? You're just going to trust us with it.
I haven't heard that. I mean, I heard that it was possible and it was being talked about, but I'm not sure where that came from. And I think it's going to go out completely unadulterated and as Joe Cornish intended. I think, you know, I think it's slightly, just because an American audience sees a lot of American films, it doesn't mean to say that they're not smart enough and credible enough to be able to sit and understand what people from a different country are saying.
Look, I had to watch Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels 5 times before I understood what they were saying.
Yeah, perfect. You know, we can only watch The Wire with subtitles on as well.
We're right there with you, buddy. Attack the Block is the film. Nick, it's always great to have you on The Kevin Amici Show, man. Thanks so much for the time today.
Thank you very much for having me back.
You bet.
I hadn't even mentioned that we were doing the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices next, and Ralph got up and ran out of the room.
He did.
I think he could smell it. He could smell that it was coming.
I can always smell when that's coming.
He knows the goodness.
Right after the top of the hour, we'll make that call here on the Kevin Amici Show. First, though, type at the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday. What's going on, Ralph?
Before I get to Showbiz News, how about some passes to the world premiere of a little movie called The Change Up?
Is that what they're calling it?
Yeah. C-H-C-H-C-H-C-H.
I don't think so.
Change Up. It stars Ryan Reynolds and Jason Bateman, two best buds who both have very different lives. Ryan Reynolds is banging all kinds of bird dog and all kinds of beaver. That's what he's doing.
Right.
And Jason Bateman, he's a loving dad of two with a very calm family life.
He's the opposite, you would say.
And they covet each other's lives.
Right.
And one magical night, boom, change up. Red Carpet World Premiere, if you'd like to go. 1-800-520-1067. First two callers to get through. Red Carpet World Premiere passes for the change up. And by the way, we'll be talking to both of those gentlemen next week.
Fantastic.
Next Wednesday, we'll talk to Ryan Reynolds and Jason Bateman about their new movie and about working together. And we'll ask Ryan Reynolds what it's like to be so freaking ugly. Poor bastard.
It's tough.
He's got to just muddy his way through life all the time. The good news is, besides the fact that I'm giving away Red Carpet World Premiere passes, the good news is I've got your hot, late-breaking Antiques Roadshow news.
No such thing. There is no such thing.
Antiques Roadshow news.
Not interested.
Antiques Roadshow.
Not interested.
Antiques Roadshow.
Not interested.
People love the Antiques Roadshow, Kevin.
I know. Not interested.
I know I do. Well, they set a little record for themselves this week while filming the show in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Oh, beautiful Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Have you been there?
Nope.
You wouldn't say that if you had.
I've been there. I love Tulsa.
Yes, you do.
Now I know I don't like it.
Correct.
Outtown.
If Bean likes it, you don't like
they're
it.
They're filming the show there, right? And there's this old dude there who brings in his tchotchkes for the appraisers to take a look at.
What an exciting premise. Hey, and bring in your crap.
He brings in a little box, and he's got some old beat-up cups. He's got five cups. Little cups. Made in China.
Right.
Cups. And apparently they're made out of rhino horn, which Ooh. Back in the day I guess you could make cups out of rhino horn.
They're mostly illegal to make, buy, sell, and possess at this point, right?
Yeah, yes. But I think these cups were made, I don't know, 17th, 18th century. They're right. old, but dudes started collecting yes. them in the 70s, apparently, for picking them up $5-$10 a piece at vintage sales and that kind of stuff.
And did he have any idea what
he had no idea when really he came were? In. Yeah. Here's the audio from Antiques Roadshow.
Well, I started collecting rhinoceros horn carvings back in the early 70s. At the time I bought them, they weren't really worth very much.
I believe a conservative number would be between $1 million and $1,500,000 for this group.
Serious?
I'm serious.
Hi, how are you?
Well, I won't have to depend on just Social Security, I guess.
No, you won't, old dude.
You sure?
I am sure.
He's like, the guy was in shock. He's like, are you sure?
No.
That barely perked him up.
I know. I was stunned at his reaction.
Because he's on the edge of death. That was him perked up.
$1,500,000. Oh, really?
He was in shock. He couldn't register the number. That's why he couldn't be excited, because I don't think he could hear that number. I don't think it could sink into his brain. Can you imagine you bring in five crappy old cups you've had in a jar, in a box in your closet since the 70s? That you got for $25 a pops,
right.
And then you bring him in, and the guy goes, oh, yeah, I'd give you the conservative estimate of $1 million, $1.5 million for your five cups, sir.
Yeah.
Mrs. Bean and I were discussing this story yesterday.
Oh, I'm sure you were.
Trying to imagine what he paid for them. Like, did he know that they were valuable when he bought? I mean, we don't know.
That's what
maybe
I
it's,
asked.
Maybe, said, it's exa- no, maybe it's exactly what you said, Ralph. Is that he bought them at a garage sale for $25, maybe. But I wonder if maybe they cost thousands of dollars back then, and he hung on to them thinking one day they'd be worth a lot. I'm trying to get my head into what it must have been like to be this dude.
The guy explained it to you. What do you need?
He doesn't
he
believe
said, him. I was buying the 70s. They weren't worth much then. They were cheap. I just like the way they look. I have no idea what they're worth, he said.
He had no idea what they were worth now, but I'm dying to know how much he paid for them back then.
Oh,
that's a hell
Jesus
of an investment
Christ.
Either way.
Do you ever have enough information? Is there ever
no,
a point
don't.
Where you're satisfied with a story?
I'm more always, than satisfied with what I heard.
Isn't that a fine story?
More than
Isn't
satisfied.
Isn't that just self-contained
it's
right
a
there,
great
what
story.
We did?
Complete. I love that story.
It might be too much.
Oh,
This is the most valuable thing that's ever come across Antiques Roadshow, right,
Ralph? Talking about this show.
Just trying to tell a story. It's all I'm doing.
I'm supporting you.
Brutal.
I love
You're
stop.
Doing
I love
the opposite
the story.
Of supporting me.
Stop supporting
I'm
him.
I'm so supporting
You're
you.
You're breaking it down and tearing it apart and need more information. Mrs. Bean and I were having a lengthy conversation.
I should kick your ass for wasting my time.
Thank you, Mr. Know-It-All.
Or Mr. Not Know Enough. Not everything has to have more.
Well, it's a beautiful story, and it's a lie.
What color was each one, Ralph?
Maroon.
Your story is a beautiful story. From my point of view, it's a beautiful story. Well, I love your story.
Thank you, William Shatner. Someone appreciates my story. I appreciate that. Hey, Jennifer Lopez is dating Diddy again.
No.
How do you like me now?
Oh. No.
What? Oh, I get it now.
No. What did they do on their date? Because Mrs. Beat and I were talking about the fact that they were dating again, and we were wondering what they had at the restaurant where they went to dinner.
Come on.
What did they order,
do you think?
Couple broke up 10 years ago. They haven't really spoken to
what
each other.
What were the issues back then?
Since the breakup.
Sue me for being interested in what you're talking
be
about
less
on the radio,
interested.
Ralph.
Be less. Look it up. You can look up every story.
That's right. If you'd like to know more, go to your local library. Show me one of those PSAs. Yeah, they didn't talk much, but since the end of her marriage, she has been reaching out to Diddy. And I bet he's been reaching out to her. You know what I'm saying? And Wednesday, they were seen out of date in New York City at a restaurant called Philippe Chow.
Hey.
They arrived separately, but left together, and onlooker said they seem to be very cozy.
Does she know he's Diddy?
I don't think she does. I think she
Ralph,
might be
you saw him
someone
on
else.
American Idol this past season, yeah. And it seemed like they got along fine. It didn't seem like there was any yeah. Bad blood between them.
Yeah.
Huh.
Hmm. All the people in the world, she's got to go back to Diddy?
Seems yeah, like she could do better.
Maybe she was entertained. Today's celebrity birthdays. Jerry Van Dyke, brother of legendary actor comedian Dick Van Dyke, who is an actor and comedian in his own right, is 80 years old. He was very funny recently in an episode of Raising Hope. I don't know if you watched that show or not.
Do not.
No. But Cloris Leachman plays a woman who's got dementia, senile dementia.
Really?
Yeah. Uh-huh. And they put her in like a daycare for like babies because they can't afford adult daycare. And she runs into this other old dude who's also out of his mind, was played by Jerry Van Dyke, and he was very, very funny.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
Juliana Hatfield's 44 years old today. Julian McMahon of Nip/Tuck is 43 years old. Wrestler Triple H is 42. Maya Rudolph turns 39. Abe Cunningham of Deftones is 38 years old. Pete Yorn turns 37. Alex Rodriguez, third baseman for the Yankees, he's 36 years old. Jonathan Rhys-Meyers from the Tudors turns 34 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
We scour the internet day and night so that you don't have to. A brand new Kevin and Bean internet roundup coming up in minutes and your chance to win tickets for L.A. Rising later this hour. But first, though, Ralph Garman, I'm so glad you're here. We're getting ready to dial up the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
Let's do the roundup. There's some good videos
on
there.
That next.
And it's lengthy. There's a lot of pieces of video on that roundup.
Got it next. Got it handled?
Let's break it up into two parts. Let's make it a two-parter. Let's play two. What do you say? Let's play two.
Well, here's the thing, Ralph, is that you always leave before the punchline. Today, maybe you should stay and see how much fun it is.
Good
okay,
idea.
I will.
Okay.
All right. You got it, Kevin. Ask and you shall receive. I will stay right here.
Okay.
We'll wait for that phone to someone to answer the phone, and I want to see how it goes. You're right. Maybe I do leave too early. Let's see if I stay in the studio. Maybe I will have a different opinion of this segment.
I guarantee you'll enjoy it when Omar tries to do the voice.
That's what I'm saying. All right, here's what's on the wheel. We've got the slutty herpes having horses.
Oh, why can't it ever land on that? I want to talk to them.
We've got the heavy metal Aussie great white sharks.
Mm-hmm.
We have the two-headed snake at odds with itself.
Oh, at odds with itself.
We have the world's wooliest sheep in heaven.
Oh, F you. Rip that off the wheel right
nope.
now.
It might land on that, Ralph. You don't know, man.
We have the old woman attacking rogue kangaroo. We have Cookie the ticklish penguin.
I can't wait.
I kid you not, that's Bean's ringtone.
I'm sure that
noise.
Is.
I love Cookie.
That
I'm
noise sure is what's is. Made when you call him. That makes...
Oh, my God.
Doesn't that make you just want to kill yourself?
Sounds like a sound he recorded in the back of his panel van outside of elementary school.
The rabid Philly beavers. The prehistoric
beavers.
Mega wombat. The Finnish Hitler mocking dog.
Oh.
And the death-defying ninja squirrel. Wow. So we got all those
can't
on the
wait
wheel.
To hear who picks up the phone on the other end.
It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. Where do you think it's gonna land?
Don't know.
It's gonna be pretty bad, but Kevin and me don't care, so we'll do it anyway. It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
You really are staying here, aren't you?
You asked me to. You asked me to. She said I should stay. So I just hear what the bit sounds like when I always walk out for the punchline.
Oh, it's the old woman attacking rogue kangaroo.
Oh, my God.
This should be interesting. I can't wait to hear this
awesome.
One.
Awesome.
What
this
are the chances of that? That's great news.
That will be great news. I can't wait to hear you. I'm looking forward to talking to the kangaroo now.
We have,
now that you asked me to stay, I feel more included in the segment.
We have Canberra, Australia on the line, and let's go and find out what's going on there.
Good day, mate. I'm here now, back.
Ordinarily, I think we read some of the story before we make the call, Kevin.
But Kevin went to me first, so I had to say something.
I couldn't wait.
Striking.
Are you sort of some sort of game preserve warden, or what are you? Who are
I'm
you?
The kangaroo.
You're the kangaroo. Here's the story. Two Australian police officers used pepper spray to fight off a rogue kangaroo that attacked an elderly woman in her backyard. Now, come on. Phyllis Johnson was 94 years old, and you attacked her in her backyard?
She's a dumb bitch. She's old. She should die anyway. Good day, mate.
Do you have to keep jumping?
Are you like a kangaroo? That's what I do.
I know, but are you like a shark that if they stop moving, they stop breathing? I mean, can you stop for a second?
I'll stop for a second.
All right. Okay. So the old woman tried to beat him off with...
You're not stopping at all.
You didn't stop.
See, Ralph, we told you it was fun to be on this end.
What's your name, kangaroo?
Wally the kangaroo.
Wally the kangaroo.
Cranky.
I would have expected that for a wallaby, but not so much for a kangaroo.
So the old woman tried to hit him and get him away with a broom. It didn't work. She crawled inside. She called 911, and they had to pepper spray you. Now, what was that like to get the pepper sprayed?
It was the awfulest thing of the world, mate. Cranky. I feel like Steve Irwin when we got struck by the stingray, mate. Nice. It really hurt really bad.
Right?
It really pissed me off, that old bugger.
So then he pepper sprays you, and you see another cop, and you attack the other cop, and he pepper sprays you.
I got game spray from the left and the right. Cranky.
Yeah, from both directions.
Why don't you stop running at the people that are pepper spraying you?
I live in a land down under.
Omar, she's not going to have anything happen to do with Australia at this point. Yeah.
Cranky. I'm in the Outback. You guys ever eat at the Outback?
Yeah, we do, Wally. Yes, we do
they
eat
have
it.
Pretty good steaks there.
Yeah, they got the Bloomin' Onion.
Do they?
Hey, thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Time for a brand new internet roundup. Hit it, Steve.
Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Laugh so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's internet roundup.
Just for clarification, there is no Steve. I don't know where that came from.
Steve, really? I thought he doesn't work there anymore.
No, I don't know.
He was the guy who ran the controls down there.
I don't think there was ever a Steve. I don't know where it came from.
This is one of the best roundups we've had in a long time. Do yourself a favor. Right now, if you're near the computer, go to KevinandBean.com, or anytime you think of it later on the day, you're trying to blow off some time at work or whatnot. We check out all the videos that come across our desk, all the stuff we find on the internet all week long, and put them together for you in one handy, tidy package. I think you're going to very much enjoy today's.
I'll tell you, there's some that we don't have audio for. One of them is the LA Rising, Rage Against the Machine practicing. Like, they need to rehearse those songs again.
Yeah.
But there's also a race between Timmy C and Zach. 100-yard race on the field of the Coliseum. And I'm not going to tell you who wins. You're going to have to go watch.
Oh, all right.
There's also planking gone wrong, where a woman is trying to plank across the kitchen and the oven falls on her.
It's unbelievable. You can't even believe it. Everybody's having a good time until somebody gets pinned by an oven in their kitchen. I've always said.
You know that song, No Diggity?
From
90s, Black Street,
right?
Like 93, 94, Black Street did No Diggity. Well, this guy does No Doogity. And it's a parody of that. I think he's from Seattle, and he's talking about not letting your dog poop in the yard without bringing a bag to pick it up.
Okay.
I like the way you walk it, dog doogity. We got to bag it up.
Got to bag it up. I'm sorry, it's dog doogity.
it's a public service announcement about, you know, picking up after your dog. And it's so stupid, and I hate it so much, yet I love this guy's voice. I want this guy to make records. Maybe he does. I'm not familiar with him, but he's so talented.
He is an amazing singer. The next is the local vocal. This is the 90s dance a cappella medley mix. You've seen these before where there's four people on the screen on the YouTube, or there's, in this particular case, 20. people singing at the same time.
What is love? Baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me. No more.
It's either that or Glee. I'm not sure.
It could be either, yeah.
I'm not exactly sure what that is. I'm sure by now you've seen the best NASCAR prayer ever. There's a preacher who comes out and he says, you know, we're supposed to thank God for everything. So he begins the prayer and he starts thanking God for the cars and the tires and the gasoline.
Thank you for Sunoco Racing Fuel and Goodyear tires that bring performance and power to the track. Lord, I want to thank you for my smoking hot wife tonight, Lisa. My two children, Eli and Emma. In Jesus' name, boogity, boogity, boogity. Amen.
He's a real-life Ricky Bobby. I love him.
There's not enough boogity, boogity, boogity in prayers for my liking. So I love that one. You remember Fabio, the dude with the long flowing hair that was on the front of all those romantic novels?
Of course.
He's been gone for a while. I haven't seen him in a while, at least. He's now, he put a video on and he's taking on the Old Spice guy, the I'm on a horse, that guy. And he's laying down a challenge.
The Old Spice guy was no good. He give you diamonds from a clamfish? Dumb. Fabio give you pearls all the time. Blow wind.
Fabio.
Yeah, so then the old Spice guy has a response video, and the Old Spice guy says, you know, if you're going to challenge somebody to a duel, you slap him or punch him in the face.
Your pathetic verbal attempt to rouse me has been the equivalent of being lightly rubbed across the cheek very slowly with a damp sponge or exfoliating loofah. An almost enjoyable experience, which made my brain chuckle.
I love that guy.
I love him so much, the Old Spice guy. Now, clearly, this is all part of a campaign for Old Spice to make these commercials go viral, but I don't know how it's going to end. It's Fabio versus Mustafa, and it's supposed to be today at noon Eastern is when the duel is supposed to happen. So I assume later today we'll see a new video that'll tell us what happens next.
Yeah, I wonder who's going to win that one. That's a good question. Jimmy Fallon had Justin Timberlake on, and they decided to do the history of rap part two. So they came out, and it was, let's be honest, it was mostly Timberlake.
Yeah.
But they did almost every rap song you've ever heard of.
And you know we don't really care because that's your birthday.
I gotta tell you, it's impressive. You know, they get about four songs in, and you go, "Wow!" And then they keep going and keep going and keep going.
And I like, I mean, he's my second favorite Jimmy in Late Night, of course, but I think Jimmy Fallon is very talented. And the musical numbers that he has been doing, some of the stuff that he's been doing with his guests, he just did one the other night with Blake Shelton where they were singing together, and it was just hilarious. I mean, he really is talented, and it's fun to watch him. And this, there's like 20 songs in the 4 or 5 minutes they sing on this one.
Yeah, which is amazing that they crammed that many in. B was talking a little earlier about the worst call in Major League Baseball. Now, we've all seen bad calls, whether you're watching the NBA, NFL,
yes.
You know, a pass interference call. You go, no way, no way. This one, I think there's never been a worse referee call in the history of human civilization.
It's possible.
It's really unbelievable. The guy throws, what inning was it, 19th?
This is the 19th inning. It just happened last night or earlier this morning. This is the Pittsburgh Pirates versus the Atlanta Braves. And you get the sense that the umpire had been, you know, on his feet for 7 hours and just wanted the goddamn game to be over. I don't even care who wins at this point. Just give me the opportunity to make a call that ends this game.
So the guy's running home and the catcher is standing not on the plate, but about a yard out in front of the plate on the third baseline.
Okay. And so he's waiting for him. He's got the ball and he's waiting for the runner.
The runner hits the catcher and bounces off of him and then just sort of walks around and touches the base. And the umpire calls him safe, which ends the game.
The throw and they got him. No, he called him safe. He called him safe. Unbelievable. Jerry Meals called him safe. The throw beat him by a mile.
It really is. In the category of bad sports calls, this is the king.
Wow.
And the thing about umpires is there's no, I mean, yeah, they could suspend the guy or fire the guy or whatever. You can't change the outcome of the game. Once the umpire has made the call, unless they have a meeting right then on the field to reverse it, it's over. That's it. The game is history now. There's nothing that you can do.
The losing team had a meeting out there on the field right afterwards.
But didn't do any good, though.
I don't think it did any good. Steve Carell has a new movie coming out, and they're trying to pick a poster. So he's in a meeting at around a board table, and they've got three possible posters. And he's very upset because he's got rules that need to be followed with when he's in a movie about the posters.
Yes. There's this one with you and Ryan Gosling only. Your heads are the same size.
No. I get the biggest head. All right? You know, I'm sorry. But what part of this don't you understand? Take a look at that. Look at how much bigger my head is than Seth Rogen's.
I don't even see Seth Rogen's head in that poster.
Exactly.
Yeah, see, he's very upset about that. I wish I had that problem.
Your head is always the biggest head in the photo.
Such a bummer, too. And Jimmy Kimmel, who's our favorite Jimmy in Late Night, he always does This Week in Unnecessary Censorship, and it's always fantastic. He takes stuff where they're not cussing, they're not using curse words, and he puts a beep in so that it sounds much, much worse than it is. Some of it is talking about the 405, remember Carmageddon? Yeah. Some of it is talking politics, there's newscasters, it's all around the gamut.
So This Week in Unnecessary Censorship.
405 now open. F*** you, Los Angeles.
We are fighting for middle-class families who just want a f***ing chance when they go into the marketplace.
I am absolutely loaded with c***s.
Would you give your daughter a doll that mimics f***ing?
What would you do if you saw someone trying to s*** your c***?
I would yell and scream at them.
You watch that Unnecessary Censorship bit every week on Jimmy Kimmel, and you go, we live in the filthiest country in America, but none of them are saying bad words.
Nope. Go to kevinandbean.com if you'd like to see more of the Internet Roundup. If you'd like to go to LA Rising, you can call right now, 1-800-520-1067. I'd like to apologize in advance, as the game that has been picked is the one that Bean and I cannot do.
Sorry,
Nothing we're going to give away L.A. Rising tickets here, but we're not going to be able to. I'm so sorry.
Why is the King of Mexico in here videotaping? What's that for?
Because he wants to capture the magic.
Come on.
He wants to capture this for future generations.
Here's the thing. It's Kevin and Bean whistle the hits, and we do our best.
Kevin blow hums the hits.
I blow hum. I do blow hum the hits. Bean whistles, and you have to tell us which Muse song it is.
Kevin and Bean whistling the hits. Can you figure out what the hell it is?
Trust me, you won't.
Kevin and Bean whistling the hits. Can you figure out what the hell it is?
If you think this was awful, wait till you hear him whistle.
Oh, dear God.
At least we're following that.
We had to blow the dust off of this one. We haven't done this in a while.
It has been a while. So here's the deal, guys. Up for grabs is Muse along with Rise Against, Rage Against the Machine, Miss Lauryn Hill, and more this Saturday at the Coliseum of Los Angeles. Then you also, by the way, you win those tickets. Then you're eligible to see Muse along with Foo Fighters, Eminem, and so much more at Lollapalooza in Chicago the following weekend. So there's a lot on the line that depends on our crappy whistling here. Okay. Kevin, are you preparing like an athlete, getting ready to go out there?
Moisturizing.
He's wetting his whistle.
Okay, let's try Arnold first. He is on line one. He's going to be our first guinea pig on Kevin and Bean Whistle the Hits. Hey, Arnold.
How you doing, Kevin and Bean?
I like to ask what he does, and he says, unemployed.
Hello. Yeah. Got plenty of time to go to concerts.
Which means video games. All right, I'm going to try and whistle a song. The song is going to be a Muse song. You just have to give me the name of the Muse song that I'm blow-humming or whistling or whatever it is I do. Okay, you ready?
All right.
All right, here we go. Shouldn't he have it by now?
Yes.
That's pretty good.
Come on! Arnold, it's on you, man. I'm going to be disappointed if you don't get that.
I got a question. Is Lisa's vagina an acceptable answer?
You can use it, but it's not going to get you anywhere.
It is for most questions, but not this one.
You can try.
Supermassive black hole.
That's correct. Yeah. Nicely done. No pressure on you, Bean.
No kidding. Woo! I didn't know you were going to be good all of a sudden. Have you been practicing since the last time we did this game?
I just realized it's a moisture problem.
That's what it is.
Are we back to the vagina?
Usually you have a granola mouth. That's why. Granola bar mouth.
Let's go to Crystal. Hi, Crystal.
Hi, good morning.
All right, Bean is going to whistle a song. It's a Muse song. You just have to give us the title.
Crystal, can you believe that we're using the vast resources of the Kevin and Bean Show Radio Network to whistle on the air? Can you even believe this is happening?
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I nailed it, by the way.
I know you did. Here we go.
Also pretty strong.
Yeah, that's
opinion.
Not bad. The name of that song
nice
is
"Nice
to See You." You know what
two
happened?
Two for two.
Yeah. You know what happened? They came in before we started the game, and they said, "Just put everyone on hold because no one's going to get it, and then we'll do a drawing." But now we're putting people on hold.
That was
who
a challenge.
It.
That was a slap to your face.
You know why? Because we rule at whistling.
You rose to the occasion.
Let's go to Kathy. Hi, Kathy.
Hello. Hi, Lisa May.
Hello, Kathy.
Kathy, how have you been doing on hold so far with the first two?
You know what? Everybody so far is doing awesome, and I didn't get any of them.
All right.
Oh, wow.
Okay. I feel confident. Now.
So it's on her, not
no
you,
pressure.
Though, Kevin, if she doesn't get it.
All right, here we go. This is me song. Ready? It just keeps going like that. You've got to...
Uprising?
What's that?
Uprising?
No.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Time is running.
Hysteria.
That was really the name of that one. Thank you.
I wouldn't have gotten that.
That was
either.
Not
that
as
was,
strong
that
as
was
your
a
first
little,
what?
A little yeah, tougher.
That was
not
as
good.
Perfect.
Was not as
F
good.
F you all.
Hey, easy, Omar. That was not as good as the, first one.
That was sweet. They're going to have
Maybe it wasn't your fault. Maybe Muse wrote a weak song there. You ever think about that?
How about they're going to have me on stage Saturday night whistling that song for
I certainly hope that's the case.
How about that? All right, let's go to Mark. Hi, Mark.
What's going on, dude?
Well, bad things. A real waste of time, to be honest.
Yeah, dude, I haven't been able to get any of them.
All right, good.
Okay. All right, good luck. It's my turn. This is Bean. Here's another Muse song. Listen up. I think I did pretty well on the first two lines. I blew it on the last two.
Wow.
I'm looking at it, and I don't recognize
sure
it.
I'm pretty sure it was the Andy Griffith theme.
it might have been.
I'm looking at the answer, and I'm thinking, nope. Mark, do you have any idea?
I'm hoping it's a plug-in, baby.
I just wanted to.
No, that was horrible.
Yeah, that was Starlight. Is what that was tried to be.
Yeah.
I accept your score. All right, I think we have time for
See,
maybe
you guys got
one
all
more,
cocky. Got all cocky two. The first two. That's the problem.
That's because I'm ripping it today. I'm ripping and tearing.
Right,
ripping
ripper.
And shredding. All right, let's go to Tiffany. Hi, Tiffany.
Oh, hey.
All right, you ready?
Best I could be.
She sounded very surprised.
She didn't even know she was on the
Am
phone.
Am I on the phone with a radio station playing a game or they whistle?
Well, all right, here you go. So many people. Uh-huh.
All right, you're in. Here you go. Ready?
Okay.
Come on, Tiff.
Is it? Oh my God! I don't know. Is it Uprising?
Yeah! Suck it, Bean! Suck it!
Now that one was pretty good too, right?
I think was.
Kevin is winning today.
Kevin
wow.
is doing very well today.
All right, this is going to be our last contestant here. We're going to say a little.
It's a little more fluid, though.
Jesse. All right, let's go to Jesse. Hi there.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Well, unfortunately, you get the bad whistler. So
apparently, right, I'm the weak link in this game.
Well, I'm going to try anyway. Let's do it.
All right, here we go. Oh, that's not the right song at all.
Oh, man.
Okay, all right, forget you heard that.
Forget you heard that.
Take two.
I'm trying to remember how this song goes. That's not it either. God damn it. I can't remember how the song goes.
Wow.
Come on. Somebody help me. Somebody help it for me real quick.
Can you do it, Kevin?
Can somebody help it for me and I can whistle it?
Yeah. Is it six? Is it number six?
Yes.
Oh, poor Jesse.
Oh,
hang on.
Poor bastard.
Oh,
I want to help you, Jesse. I'm not trying to fail.
I just can't remember how it goes. Do you know eight, Bean?
I don't know eight
oh,
at all.
Oh, shoot.
Come on, somebody hum it. Somebody just hum the line.
Dave, do you know?
Dave.
Okay.
Come over here.
You can whistle.
Come
Dave.
Over here and hum it.
Got to fill in whistle.
Dave can whistle it. He's a good whistler.
I've been removed from the game.
Here we go.
There it is.
Oh, time is running out.
Yeah! Wow.
We had to go to the bullpen. We had to go to the bullpen to bring another whistler out.
They had to bring in another batter.
Have I ever had to call in a guest whistler? No.
They pulled Bean off the mound.
All right. We got Arnold. We got Crystal. We got Tiffany. We got Jesse. Four contestants up for LA Rising tickets. Who's the big winner, Lisa May?
Arnold is our winner.
Very first one.
Arnold.
Because he got supermassive black hole
from
me, Kevin. I'll see you on Saturday night at LA Rising.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Nicely done.
Kevin and me, whistling the hits.
Thanks a lot for playing. That was bad, right?
Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Wednesday. By the way, upcoming guests in the next few days include Steve Carell from Crazy Stupid Love. Also, our friend Dr. Drew. Matt Pinfield is going to be on with us talking about the return of 120 Minutes on MTV. Comedian D.L. Hughley, James Franco, the actor, and Jane's Addiction will be here on Tuesday, world premiering their brand new song. It's been a while since we've heard anything new from those guys. So that's all coming up in the next few days here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Ralph joins us for the Showbiz Beat. Hey, Ralph.
Can you believe next month is the 20th anniversary of Nevermind? Nirvana's album, Nevermind.
20th
anniversary.
No, that's crazy.
Well, Universal Music is pulling out all the stops. They're going to re-release a super-duper extra special deluxe edition. All kinds of remastered packages. It's going to be four CDs and one DVD.
Okay.
It is going to be the original final mix as produced by Butch Vig. Before the record label brought in Andy Wallace to make the album sound more commercial. So the version that was released was not Butch's original mix.
Oh, really?
So they're going to give you that on one of the CDs. Vig also has provided boombox recordings of rehearsals of the album. So he just put a boombox up there and turned on record, and they were rehearsing. He got all those tapes that they'll be releasing as
That's
well.
That's going to sound good.
Early mixes of the album will also be available. So you get tons of extra audio content, and the DVD is going to have all four music videos from the album, two live performances on the BBC, a live 1991 Halloween concert at the Paramount Theater in Seattle.
Wow.
And there will also be a 90-page hardcover book that will come along with that as well.
And the naked baby on the cover, they're going to show the 21-year-old, 20-year-old, whatever.
All grown up.
All grown up, but yes. Naked in a pool.
Yes,
same
exactly.
Thing.
There'll be other various editions, including vinyl. Anyway, all of these will be released on September 27th, the anniversary of Nevermind. So, for Nirvana fans, here's a lot of goodness coming your way.
Which we haven't said in a long time.
Yeah. Should be good. Jennifer Lopez and Mark Anthony, their split is getting ugly. One insider is telling the National Enquirer that Mark felt betrayed when Jennifer decided to sign on for a second season of American Idol. And another summer movie. I guess he wanted her to be home more, and she was working. Well, he's on tour all the time.
Yeah. Look, if my wife says, hey, I've got this part-time job that's going to bring us in an extra $15 million this year, I say, have fun, honey.
Yeah, but you don't like to spend any time with people.
Yeah, you're not.
Well, there's that, I guess.
Word is the two argue a lot towards the end of their relationship, and friends are saying he would berate her in front of her family.
Mm. Oh.
And the help. That was where the...
The family's not worse than the help?
No.
What?
Family's bad, don't get me wrong, but families fight, you know, and sometimes families can get used to that. But if you do it in front of the nannies and the bodyguards and the chauffeurs, you really are undermining any position of power she may have with the staff, I think. She felt it was pure torture towards the end, according to one friend, and so she bailed, and that was the end of that. So much for happy Hollywood couples. And while we're talking about happy Hollywood couples, I don't know if anybody watched... The Family Jewels last night. Gene Simmons' Family Jewels.
I didn't, but my wife told me all about it.
Yeah, Gene Simmons proposed to Shannon Tweed, his longtime girlfriend. Pop the question.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're getting married. They're engaged.
Did she say yes?
Yeah.
Are they changing their arrangement in any way?
I imagine they will. Full-scale
that's,
change.
That's the whole point.
More of a commitment. Here's the thing. They filmed that episode months ago.
Right. And then they were all pouty.
So, them all over the Today Show go, oh, I'm not talking to you. I'm going to cross my arms on my back to you. Oh, we're really unhappy. Anything could happen. We might break up, blah, blah, blah. Lies! Lies!
What a surprise.
Recreating history, maybe.
Oh,
I don't know.
Lies. So much lies.
So does this mean Gene Simmons can't bang every woman he meets, Ralph?
I believe that is one of the arrangements that they're going
maybe
to enter
Maybe he's
into.
Just out.
What he's done?
He's really just...
He's in his 60s. He's gassed. He's just finished.
Tired of it.
Lucky Shannon.
I'm really... Really exhausting.
You get me at my worst. Congratulations.
It just seems like a guy like Gene Simmons knows that there are new girls turning 18 every single day, and he would hate to keep any of them, you know, out of his book. Well, but I guess so. At some point, even he wears down.
I think he has an option. And I know Kevin loves the Beatles news, so I did want to include this story in this hour. Pete Best, who was the drummer of the Beatles before they became huge international superstars.
I do love that. That
the
he
saddest
was
man in the world.
He was a Beatle, and then they hit it big.
Yeah. Then, depending on who you talk to, he quit, or they gave him the boot, and Ringo became the drummer, and the rest, of course, is history. Well, he's got to feel much better now, because they've just named a street after him in Liverpool.
Oh, there you go.
Pete Best Drive is the name of the street. And the 69-year-old drummer said he felt very humbled and very flattered, and now that makes up for all of not the millions of dollars he didn't make with the Beatles.
I don't think that would make up for it.
Oh, no, I don't think it does either. The other Beatles all have streets named for them as well. They got it in 1981, so a mere 20 years later, they got around to mentioning Pete, the also-ran Beatle. So I don't know how he doesn't kill himself every day.
I know.
Yeah. I would never stop killing myself. Well, I would kill myself, I'd come back to life, and I would just kill myself.
You would
again
have
the next
to
day.
Stop killing yourself after the first time.
Nope,
but, okay.
I would keep going. All right. I would somehow manage to come back just so I could kill myself again.
Okay.
Because that's what you missed out on.
Remember, and there was your pal, Stu Sutcliffe. Remember the other Beatle, the other guy who was in the Beatles, and he did, in fact, die very, very young. Right, Ralph?
Yeah, but he didn't choose to leave the band.
Himself, right?
Or actually, he did. He decided he wanted to go live with his girlfriend, but yeah.
Was her name Yoko?
No, it's
by
not.
By any stretch?
No, I believe it was Astrid.
Ah.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthday is Jerry Van Dyke. Is 80 years old today. Julianna Hatfield celebrates her 44th birthday. Anybody a fan of Julianna Hatfield? Anybody like her music?
For a minute, I guess.
I think she's pretty good.
I haven't heard it.
Julian McMahon from Nip Tuck is 43 years old today. Wrestler Triple H celebrates his 42nd birthday. Maya Rudolph is 39, and she's pregnant again, by the way. I heard she's pregnant.
No way.
No, I'm kidding. She seems like she's pregnant about every three weeks she gets pregnant.
She is, yeah.
Abe Cunningham of Deftones is 38. Pete Yorn is 37. Alex Rodriguez is 36 years old. And Jonathan Rhys-Meyers celebrates his 34th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We need to talk about bachelorette parties and bachelor parties. Because after celebrating her bachelorette party at Las Vegas' Tao Saturday, Kim Kardashian...
Boo.
Wandered next door to crash fiance Chris Humphrey's own bachelor party.
They were next door to one another?
That's what makes me think there's something up.
Yeah, of course.
There's cameras because it's keeping up with the Kardashians or whatever show they're on.
Well, nothing happens in that family if it doesn't happen on camera.
I know, that's what I mean. And so, to me, this sounds set up. Oh, because they were heard promising each other, oh, no, I'm not going to come to yours. Oh, I'm not going to come to yours either. And then she decides she's going to go over there, and he's happy to see her, and they kiss. It all sounds completely fake to me.
Are either of them good enough actors? I don't watch the show. But I mean, what's the dude's name, the poor sucker? Chris Humphries?
Chris Humphries, yeah.
He can't have been pleased to basically blow his bachelor party by turning it into a televised event with him and his wife, right? That's not a bachelor party. That's not any fun. Is it?
He probably knew this ahead of time, though. What I'm saying is it's had to be set up. Because she came over, and then all of her guests came over, and then they all mingled and had a great time at the nightclub, blah, 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 blah. So it wasn't really a bachelorette party or a bachelor party.
No, it was their future wedding reception in a club,
It was them getting paid probably from two different clubs instead of one.
Probably they got everything for free. They just had to put it on E!
Oh.
Yeah, or tweet it. Like, I mean, you know, when Kim tweets the DJ's name, you know the DJ's working for free. That's all the pay you need is to reach her millions of followers. But here's the thing. When I saw this story on the news a couple of days ago, I thought, many times in the past, I have heard stories about regular people who aren't on TV who just get driven crazy by what might be going on in the other bachelor or bachelorette party, who go out of their way to try to get there, to try to see it, which to me says, I don't know, maybe you shouldn't be getting married to that person. Or
I
you
don't
shouldn't
trust
be getting
you.
Married at all. Yeah, exactly. And I'm sure that we have Kevin and Bean listeners who have encountered some aspect of this story. Either you were at your bachelorette party and your husband-to-be showed up, or vice versa. Or you had a problem because of the scheduling or whatever. But when this Kardashian thing was announced during the showbiz beat a couple of weeks ago, we said, why are they even having it on the same night? Then we said, why are they even having it the same city? I mean, why take the chance you're going to run into each other?
This has become a scary recent idea or tradition with people in the past few years. And I personally have fought it with girlfriends of mine. I don't understand why either party would want to happen in the same city on the same day. This idea that you're going to join up and have fun or maybe start together and then go off your separate
ways.
It's absolutely horrible.
It's
and
just
I don't
not a bachelorette party or a bachelor party.
No.
That's all.
Producer Alex, this reminds me of the other new trend in the last few years, which is your husband comes to the baby shower.
Oh, that's been going on for a while.
That's been going on. But I mean, why does everything have to be a couple event now? Why can't there be some things that are for the woman, you know, fiance slash wife, and some things that are for the man, husband slash fiance? What's the deal?
I think that's a little different in that they're both having the kid.
Right.
Different, and he comes at the end, and so that's a little different. But bachelor party, bachelorette party, really, neither should see each other, and you should trust.
The point is, it's your time to party away from them.
Yes.
But, you know, sometimes you don't trust the people around them more than you don't trust them.
You should think about that when you're marrying someone, because you're marrying their friends. You're marrying their family.
That's true.
And so if you don't like his best friend, guess what? You're not going to like him for the next 50 years. Because he's going to be in your life.
It's going to get a lot worse.
And so if you know, it's the one time you could get a night off from the creepy best friend who's going to go into a strip club or do whatever. I personally don't have a problem with strip clubs. And if you're not going to trust your man for a night out wherever, even if he's out camping with the guys or they're going to a strip club or whatever they're doing, you're going to have a major problem the rest of your marriage. This happened to my dude a few years ago with one of his friends' bachelor parties. It was in Montreal.
Right.
And the bride insisted that they have it the same night in Montreal. Like, there's sort of like a main drag in town, like the Santa Monica Promenade, where there's a bunch of bars and shops. And basically, his friends kept saying, sure, no problem. They totally agreed to everything. And then the night of the bachelor party, they blocked the door and they paid the manager not to let the bride or her party in.
Awesome. And to this day, she still hates my dude.
Hates him. Awesome.
Thinks it's the worst thing ever. And
your dude
totally disrespectful.
Did the right thing.
All the guys, I mean, eventually a few of them sort of snuck in, but they tried to keep them out as long as possible.
That's the best.
No, not Montreal. This is Monty Hall.
All right, listen. We're going to take calls at 1-800-520-1067. Unfortunately, we don't have time to go to you right now, but David, please hang on. His bachelor party was cut short by his wife-to-be threatening to show up. That's exactly what we're talking about. How did he survive that, and what are they doing today if they're still married? We want to talk to you, David. Darren, a former male stripper, has some insight into bachelorette parties, too, we want to talk about as well. But we need your calls, too. 1-800-520-1067. We'll get to him right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. Producer Alex in studio with us talking about the disturbing trend that seems to be more common now of bachelor and bachelorette parties combining to make one giant party that involves both people who are getting married, which is kind of the opposite of the whole point of those parties, right?
And I guarantee you 1,000% that this is a girl's idea. There's no guy that went, you know what we should do? We should get the parties together. No guy ever said that, ever.
And by the way, before we go to your calls, and we got some great ones, please hold on at 1-800-520-1067. I'm not suggesting that the party should be separate because you're going to cheat on your bachelor or bachelorette party, although, of course, sometimes that happens. I'm suggesting it because the whole point is to share time with your friends one last night while you are still single,
right?
When you don't have to think about your spouse. That's what I'm saying. That's why it doesn't make any sense to me. But let's go to David on line 5. He's the one who's been waiting on. His party was cut short, he says. Because his wife-to-be threatened to show up at your party? What happened, dude?
Well, yeah, pretty much. First of all, how's it going, guys?
Good.
How are you
today? Hi.
So we both had our bachelor parties on the same night. I mean, we both live in L.A. And about, you know, just an hour or two into mine, I went to a strip club, of course. She called freaking out. By that time, she'd gotten pretty wasted with her friends, and she just couldn't, you know, bear the thought of me being in a strip club. She really doesn't like the places. And,
now, wait a minute. Had you had a conversation before where she said, I know what you're going to do for your, you know, bachelor?
Yeah, no, yeah. She absolutely knew what was going on, and she claimed to be okay with it, but she couldn't follow through, you know what I mean?
Because women lie, right?
Yeah, God.
That's the touchy-feely bean right there. All right, so she called. She finally broke down and called.
She called, you know, and started calling all of us and crying and freaking out. So I can't stand it. I'm going to come over there. I know where you guys are. And, you know, so basically we just kind of had to cut it short and then kind of merge our parties because it was, you know, maybe only 11
You are such a pussy.
Total garbage. We've been going to counseling about it for the last 2 years.
David,
what kind of abuse did your friends give you when you said, guys, my fiance's on the way over?
You should.
David, was this clearly your wife's idea, and at the time, you knew this was a bad idea, right?
Well, you know, I mean, it wasn't, of course, absolutely it was a bad idea. You know, I wanted to go to Vegas,
Why didn't you? Why didn't you man up and tell her that I'm going to Vegas and I'm not going to answer my phone?
Well, yeah, right. I'm still asking myself that question. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess Kevin went to Vegas. He almost didn't come back. I mean, that was a bachelor party.
We had a 3-day bachelor party. We drove in a...
An RV,
an
right?
RV. Jimmy Kimmel was driving the RV. Adam Carolla was lighting farts. It was the weirdest weekend of my life. It was just like The Hangover, pretty much. Okay.
David, you're an embarrassment to mankind, but thank you very much for listening to the show and for fun. Let's try Ryan. He's on line one. Apparently, his fiance, or was it your fiance? Is this your personal story you're talking about, or somebody you know?
It's actually, I was the best man at my buddy's wedding.
Okay. What did his fiance do the night of the bachelor party?
We didn't know it, but she hired an investigator.
What?
Around the whole entire night.
You around the whole night.
What a
bitch.
What a bitch. Wow. Ladies, stop it. If you have to hire a private investigator, one, you need counseling, and two, that tells you everything you need to know.
Don't marry that guy.
Now,
did the groom find out?
We didn't find out until the next day, but it was kind of like, it was a little bit of a slap in the face because I didn't even know it, but my friend was a trust fund baby, and he comes up to me, he's like, hey, guess who just got $10 million today? Let's go to Vegas for my bachelor party. I'm like,
sweet.
Okay. So I guess he gave his fiance money to go have a bachelorette party. Well, she took that money and hired the investigator to follow us around all day.
Wow.
Did he end up marrying her after finding all of this out?
He did. But after he found out the next day, because we were confronted with all the pictures and everything, and, of course, bachelor party in Vegas, you know what happens. And he goes, you know, I'm kind of bummed that you did all this, but if you still want to get married, you're signing a prenup.
Okay, that makes me feel better.
That's not even better. No.
Makes me feel slightly better.
That's not even better. It's not like she called a lot of times or anything. She hired a private investigator.
No, look, she's a bad human
being. Come on. He should say, see you later.
Well, he's clearly not marrying for love. At least he's protecting his cash.
What he said, you know what happened. What happened exactly?
Maybe people cheated.
No, I'm asking him.
Clubs and blah, blah, blah. Did anything horrible happen?
No.
All right.
Okay.
Did anything awesome happen?
That's another good question.
All right, Ryan, thank you for the call. We got to move on. Let's get Bethany in real quick because I want to hear from a bridesmaid at a bachelorette party how that could go so horribly wrong. Bethany, thank you for joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Hi, how's it going?
Very good,
Hi.
Thank you.
I was the maid of honor, and they have the great idea of combining. Never, ever, ever do it. Never.
Don't combine bachelor and bachelorette parties. That's what we're trying to say.
Worst weekend. The guys needed their hands held to even plan anything, so I had to plan what they were doing. And then once the whole separation and meeting up thing happened, the bride and groom got in a huge fight. The bride ran off through the palms. I was like chasing her, and then she almost got into the in a fight with a lady in the cab line.
By the way, any guy who goes to a bachelor party that is planned by the bridesmaid, right. Seriously,
do you know how
often? Just cut off your testicles and hang them on the wall.
I'm not planning this party, but still,
that has happened to me. I have been a maid in many weddings, and I had some guys ask me, "What strip club should we go to? What should we do?" And I'm thinking, I don't have a penis. Don't ask me. I know what I would plan.
By the way, you know what you would be able to plan.
I know, and that's why they're asking me. But come on, guys, sack up.
What's happening?
Ladies.
Every single story that we've had involves a weak male.
A weak male and a crazy
and
bitchy
crazy over-the-top woman.
Stop it. I wonder if these types attract each other. Just a dumb guy and an overbearing woman.
Man.
All right. Well, look, stop it, America.
Stop it, America.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show every day this week. We've got an X Games guest for you today. It's Tanner Faust. He is going to be on in about a half an hour or so. Of course, he is one of the rally car drivers who's going to be racing this weekend. By the way, speaking of your bachelor party that came up in the last conversation.
Yes.
Before we go to Mr. Carolla on the phone, how many times did he light his farts in the back of that RV, and how many times did it continue to be entertaining to
everybody? It was in the RV. We were driving to Las Vegas, and that takes 6 hours by car.
Right.
We were driving an RV, and he would always say, "Lights! Get the lights!" And then he would light a fart, and he would laugh so hard, like it was the first time he'd ever seen it, and he couldn't believe how crazy funny it was. And it was the same the second time, the 10th time, the 30th time, the 50th time was still the funniest thing he's ever seen.
Adam, how many times did you light your farts, and why was it so amusing to you every time?
I stopped counting at Zizix. I was solidly into four digits by the time we got to Zizix, by the time we got to Baker and the Bun Boy and the world's largest thermometer, which it's not, by the way. It's a stick that it is just a stick. Has numbers it's on
not
it.
Not a thermometer.
Not a thermometer at all. You're absolutely right. Right. Yeah.
Still livid about
but
that.
But I would guess this, and tell me if I'm right, Adam. Still to this day, if you light a fart, it's the funniest thing you've ever seen.
Oh, yeah. And I only hope that I can pass that joy along to my children.
I'm sure you've introduced them to it. They're old enough that you've shown them how to light a fart, right?
Well, sure, but you know what? I found that if you force them to light their farts, they'll resist. You know what I mean?
Resent it later, sure.
Yeah, it's like you want your child to start drinking and smoking naturally, but if you force them to smoke at, let's say, 9 or do shots of tequila at, let's say, 7, they're never going to pick it up. Leave the bottle out. Let them discover it.
I'm not sure that that's good advice.
No, that sounds great. AdamCarolla.com is where you go for all the great podcasts and the Adam Carolla Fine family of shows, plus upcoming information on live shows in Las Vegas, Thousand Oaks, Ontario. And don't forget, Adam is on The Car Show Wednesday nights at 10 on the Speed Network. It's Wednesday. That means it's time for This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
You know, I have the Guinness Book of World Records for most downloaded podcasts, but what about most farts from here to Nevada?
Hey, I was just fascinated by anybody that has that much gas. I mean, really? Doesn't the guy run out?
When we have some more time, Kevin, I will tell you once again about Big Tad's big brother.
Okay.
And his gas.
All right.
And Jimmy Kimmel on the way to Vegas on another
Can't
day.
Can't wait.
Big Tad's 21st birthday.
Hit the lights!
All right. Number three going down to number one. The space shuttle Atlantis, we've retired it. I don't know what the plan is for the space shuttle, but I got a couple plans for it.
Okay.
First off, who owns this baby? I'll tell you who. The taxpayer.
Yeah.
So somebody should go, look, everyone who's in, like, the million-dollar club, everyone who's paid in more than $1 million over the last 5 years or 10 years, you get to come inside and, like, you know, I'm going to take, like, the sun visor and an ashtray. You can take the stick shift knob or something, Kevin. Like, first off, it's a good message to send. First off, all the people on the dole, all the people didn't pay in, all the garbage men, all the people that really didn't do anything, and all the guys who cheated on their taxes, you wait outside. We're going to let the Americans pay
the
their
people
fair
who
share
pay their taxes.
Go
are
in there. Hey, Bean, you want to take a dump in the shuttle bathroom? Go ahead.
You earned it.
You earned it, buddy. You're in the Platinum Club. Then, once all the taxpayers who paid for it are done taking their souvenirs, we then cart the thing around to all the other nations that don't have a space program, and we rub it in their face.
And we just say, look at this. We're not even using it.
We're tired of outer space, and you guys have never even been there. We're burnt out on it. We are so bored with outer space, and you guys have barely cracked the 10-story limit on a building. Look at you.
It's ugly American time.
Yes, it's like we just drag it around. We could drag it to Greece and Mexico and parts of Africa and go, first off, let me explain. Oh, and then we'd go, you can borrow it if you want. Good luck getting it up there. And then we'd laugh hysterically.
I like
we'll
your plan.
We'll be back in a few short months. We'll either be up on blocks or a donkey will be dragging it around. There'll be a guy riding it for $10. All right, next thing. Number two, Domino's. Not the pizza, the game. Domino's. I'm fascinated by Domino's, the game. Because the only thing I ever know from Domino's is setting them up and then knocking the first one down and having them go down.
Me too. I don't understand the game at all.
You want to know why?
Why?
You're not black.
Oh, is
black
that
people instinctively know how to play domino. They have a domino gene. It's a dominant domino gene. And I don't know what it is, but for some reason, black people know how to play domino.
But how come white people can't get that gene?
I don't know what's going on.
Why are we getting ripped?
Well, I'm just saying someone needs to teach us what to do with these things. And come on, brothers, if we saw you standing around just throwing chess pieces at each other, going, hey, man, I'm playing chess, we'd go, no, that's not how it works. We would help you. You're just seeing us knock these things over all day long, and you won't come up and help us?
How about a little help?
How about a little something? Come on. We should be,
good
there
point
should be some sort of exchange program. Listen, brothers, we're going to teach you how to play a game called Canasta, and you teach us how to play dominoes.
We must That's look like fair. Completely retarded when we just set them up and knock them over.
Well, what if they were just throwing Stratego pieces at each other? Wouldn't you go, hey, man, let me help you?
Probably not.
Jesus Christ. Come on, brother. Okay. Step up. Number one, the Dodger dog. It is not spoken about enough. It's one of the worst things you can put
what?
In your mouth. It's a horrible hot dog.
What?
It is a horrifically bad hot dog.
What?
Oh, you go to Pittsburgh, you get some nice brats over there, and you go to Chicago, and you get that nice hot dog with the casing, and it snaps, and the juice comes out. Yeah. And we got this weird, fleshy piece of Spam thing that's hanging 4 inches outside of the bun.
What?
It's a horrible hot dog. It's
what?
Always it's the worst hot dog in America. I would say this. Tour all the ballparks in America and find me a worse hot dog than the Dodger dog. It's pathetic. It's horrific. I was talking to a Jewish guy about this. He almost had a heart attack. He couldn't believe it was so bad. And I blame Farmer John. And if I ever find this MF-er, I'm going to freeze one of these things and rape him with it. That's
you,
my plan.
You are going to cause a revolution in Southern California with your words. You know, Adam, how passionate people are about the Dodger dog. You know that,
yeah,
right?
You know you're
swimming upstream here.
You want to give out your email address?
People. What are they going to do, drool on you?
You want to give out your phone number or email address?
It's a horrific dog.
What?
So Adam Carolla is a big fan of the Dodger dog is the point that I take away here. Go to adamcarolla.com. See him Saturday, August 6th in Las Vegas at the House of Blues, by the way, and then dates in Thousand Oaks in Ontario. Don't miss him on the Speed Channel tonight at 10 as the co-host of The Car Show. That's a funny show, too, by the way, Adam. Thanks for coming on the Kevin DeBean Show, man. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Ralph Garman is here, as he is every hour at this time on the Kevin DeBean Show with a look at the showbiz beat. What's going on, Ralph?
I'm going to give away some stuff before I get to news stories. I have passes to give away to the world premiere, red carpet world premiere of The Change Up. Brand new comedy starring Jason Bateman and Ryan Reynolds. It's in theaters everywhere on Friday, August the 5th. However, you will see it Monday, August the 1st at the red carpet world premiere where all the stars see it for the first time as well. And the paparazzi and the brouhaha. Oh, there's plenty of brouhaha.
A lot of that.
A lot of brew, not so much haha. But sometimes the haha gets thrown in.
Jason Bateman. What a terrific actor he is, Ralph. And I hear he's amazing in this movie.
I'm a big fan as well. If you'd like to go, 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. First two callers that get through will get a pair of passes to attend the red carpet world premiere of The Change Up, starring those two gentlemen we just mentioned. And they will be on the show next week as well. On Wednesday, I believe, they're going to stop by the Kevin and Bean Show and talk about this movie. And it looks very entertaining, if I say so myself.
I like an inning he's in.
You know what wasn't entertaining was that Never Say Never Justin Bieber movie.
That was a terrific movie.
Oh, he loved it.
It
was really good.
What a steaming pile of cinema.
You never saw it.
That
you don't
was.
Know a damn thing about it.
I know it was a steaming pile of cinematic, you know what.
That's, based on not seeing much. It, you know that?
Yeah, like, yeah, absolutely.
Here's what I like. I like, even though Ralph hasn't seen it, Bean's anger at Ralph is really unique.
You know nothing about it.
You know what I need? All I need to know about it? It was about Justin Bieber. That's all I need to know about it. That's all anyone needs to know about it, really.
All I'm telling you is it was a really good movie. Whether you care about Justin Bieber or not, it was a really well-done film.
So Justin Bieber wasn't in it.
You know how documentaries can be.
So Justin Bieber wasn't in it then.
He was in it. It
well,
was
then,
the story
okay,
of his rise.
I'm
yes.
good. All right.
What's going on with Never Say Never? What's the
news? Well, this is
here?
All you need to know as well. Red Hot Chili Peppers frontman Anthony Kiedis said he cried while watching that movie. He was so moved. That's all I need. That's all I need to know. Justin Bieber's in it. Kiedis is crying watching it. That's all I needed to know.
What?
I'm good.
Not
I'm fine. You move along. Nothing to see here. Thank
right,
you so
let
much.
Let me ask Bean, the guy who saw it. The only guy who saw it, by the way. Was there a part where you would cry?
Well, I didn't feel moved to tears. It is
you
emotional
it
in
is,
places.
Okay. There is
it is emotional in places, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, just to see his dreams come true during the course of the film is fairly inspirational, but I'm still surprised by the news that Anthony Kiedis would
cry. He's been holding on to those dreams for like 3 years.
Yes, exactly.
All that time he spent climbing the ladder of success, and finally he attained his goals. Going
I know you
all
hate
the way from
struggle
14
that was.
To 15, he was able to put that all together.
I know you
he
hate
really
Ralph,
is gifted,
but
in
Beaver's defense,
I wish him all the best.
He did put a video up on YouTube.
That's
okay.
True. Look at the effort, the sweat and tears, all those years working at those clubs, honing his craft. Oh, wait a minute. No, he's a haircut.
That's what I forgot to mention. You. He's a haircut.
Yes. And one day, your little girl's going to grow up and she's going to discover Justin Bieber and she's going to want to see that movie and you're going to owe me an apology.
My little girl grows up, there will be 14 other teen idols that have come and gone in his stead.
Justin will be doing gay porn for the last 10 by the time she's old enough.
Justin will be doing a renovation show on the House and Garden Network with Vanilla Ice. They will be refurbishing basements by the time my daughter's old enough to know what Justin Bieber is, so I have no worries there. While we're talking about documentaries and music, a new documentary about U2 is going to open the Toronto Film Festival this year. It's called From the Sky Down, directed by Davis Guggenheim. He was the man who gave us An Inconvenient Truth, the Al Gore movie.
Liar.
The movie examines the band from its humble beginnings in Dublin back in 1978 to its current worldwide stadium-sized fame. It'll be the first time in 36 years in the history of the Toronto Film Festival that a documentary has opened the evening.
Really?
So, wow. It's got a lot going on. While we're talking about documentaries still, about bands, Cameron Crowe's got a new one, too, called Pearl Jam 20, Chronicle of Pearl Jam. It's also going to play this same festival on September 8th, so a lot of music and movies coming together.
I can't wait for that. And he is not a Johnny Come Lately. Of course, he's been friends with the band since before they got together, so he's followed him every step of the way, and apparently he's just got some amazing footage that no one's ever seen before in this film. I'm really looking forward to it.
See, U2, back in Dublin, 78... playing small clubs, learning how to play, developing their sound, moving up the ranks. Now they
driving in vans for years.
Now their dreams have come true at the end of that journey.
It's a bigger arc, if that's what you're saying.
It's bigger than Justin Bieber's arc, really? Is that what you're trying to say?
He had to get on a plane in Toronto and fly to Atlanta. Bieber had to do that, and he survived that and still made it in show business.
Where's a shoe bomber when you need one? That's all I know. Oh, I can't wait till he's dead.
Come on.
It's going to be awesome. It's going to be so awesome.
Why so much hate?
Because he's hateable. And I wouldn't have time for my breaking Antiques Roadshow news. I'm so
that's
upset.
That's too bad. Wow,
might save it for the next hour. But you will be amazed when I bring you a little audio clip of the Antiques Roadshow. I know you might say, but it's already exciting. Anything you'd play from the Antiques Roadshow would be super exciting.
No, I wouldn't say
I
that.
Would agree with you. However, this one is even more exciting than the usual break from Antiques Roadshow. So we'll give you the Antiques Roadshow update.
Let's just start airing the audio from that show every day on the show. Just air a whole episode for people to
listen. Let's do that.
Ratings would skyrocket.
Let's do
that
at 5:30 so I don't have to come in until like 6.
Like you do anyway.
That'd be great.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Jerry Van Dyke from Coach. He's 80 years old today. Juliana Hatfield's 44. Julian McMahon from Nip Tuck and Profiler is 43. Wrestler Triple H is... Was that a bark? What was that exactly?
You stepped on a bee or something, Bearbuck. What was that?
WWE wrestler Triple H is 42. Maya Rudolph from SNL is 39. Abe Cunningham, drummer of Deftones, is 38. Pete Yorn's 37. Alex Rodriguez of the Yankees is 36. And Jonathan Rhys-Meyers, who was so good in the Tudors and even better in the pub after shooting the Tudors. He is 34 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Here with Tanner Fouts.
You know, rally racing is one of those things that has got a deep hook in me.
On the black horse, Tanner Fouts is going to take the jump. Will it be smoother this time? Certainly lower speed. That's perfect for Tanner Fouts.
You know, a rally is like basically doing 150 miles of a drift competition in a weekend.
And Faust now is starting to charge. He wants to catch up. Let's hope there's no damage to Tanner Faust's car from tagging that wall.
Like on the outside, I think it looks more violent than on the inside. On the inside, it's kind of like you're just floating sideways.
Look at Tanner go. He is not giving up. He's going to push all the way to the finish. Tanner Faust is a stunt driver. He knows how to trim the car. He spends every day driving a car.
So that happened. Also, of course, one of the hosts of Top Gear USA, and you'll see him in lots of movies like The Fast and the Furious, Tokyo Drift, and The Italian Job, driving crazy, Tanner Faust, back on the Kevin and Bean Show, X Games Week. How are you, my friend?
Doing well. How are you guys doing?
Very good. Thank you.
I can't imagine what it must be like. I mean, I know the excitement level of the fans as we get a day away from the start of the X Games, but what's it like for you? I mean, there must be a checklist of things that you're running down in your mind to make sure you are ready to go when it starts this weekend, right?
Yeah, it's, you know, there's a lot of PR involved. That's the cool thing about X Games, is it has such a great following around the world. So last night we did Letterman, and back in town today doing media events, and really for us, as of tonight, it's all about X Games. It's watching videos of previous runs. It's finishing up the last fine-tuning on the car suspension and getting ready to hit the track on Friday.
I know you've done this for a long time. Is it difficult to resist the urge? Because I know that the urge when you're racing is to just step on it. And if you just step on, a lot of times you're going to hit a wall, you're going to jump too far. Is it difficult to keep your blood pressure down and just kind of stay calm?
I mean, you hit the nail on the head. That's the hardest part about the whole thing. These little Fiestas are, you know, the Rallycross versions are so fast and almost 600 horsepower, and they just want to run free. And so you're almost reining them in the whole time. And then as a driver, the experience is like you're trying to stay calm the whole time in this hyperactive, wicked little car that feels like it's trying to drive you off the track at any second.
And there's another guy that might beat you, and you need to speed up, but then you're going to hit that jump, and if you hit it too fast, then you go over, you know, front end over front. I mean, it just looks like a nightmare, but it looks like a blast.
I see. I'm not sure. I'm looking forward to it now. Thanks. No, it's really fun. I mean, yeah, it's absolute chaos. There's no doubt about it. Rallycross is one of these sports. It's just pure chaos. All the stuff, even if you were alone on the track, it'd be chaotic.
Right.
But then you get six, even eight guys. I've heard that in the X Games, there's going to be eight cars at once on the track fighting for it, hitting the jump at the same time. It's going to be, it's just gnarly. So it's just kind of controlling the beast there.
This Rallycross, how long have they been doing that in the X Games?
2006 was the first year, and it was really one car at a time on individual tracks, and it slowly has adopted into a sport very similar to one that's been overseas for a long time called European Rallycross that I am lucky enough to compete in this season.
I love how it has evolved, and I always think of it, and tell me if you think this is a fair comparison, Tanner. It seems to me like it's the MMA of car racing because there's so many different kinds of disciplines, and you're uniquely qualified for this because of all the different kinds of car driving you've done in your career, where you kind of have to use so many different skills to win that thing, right?
I have never heard that analogy, but it is so good. It's really
you should start using it. You should start saying, "Yeah, my sport's the MMA of
car
racing." Yeah,
I'm probably going to claim that.
it's yours.
Yeah, it's very true. There's a lot of disciplines from drifting, off-road racing, even stunt driving, where you're jumping the car and trying to balance it in the air, to road racing, where you're carrying, you know, speed and momentum out of the even drag racing, because you start from a standstill and the start is critical.
So right,
monitoring like wheel spin is absolutely critical.
Have you ever done a race and not hit something? Have you ever not like taken some kind? It seems like every car is beat up by the time they make it to the end. They've got three wheels aren't working or something. It just looks like they take a big beating.
It's hard to get out of these races clean, for sure. There's so many people fighting for it. If you give them an inch, they're going to stick a car in there and do everything they can to take the corner. In the European Rallycross Championship, we're about halfway through the season. And with the Rockstar car, we've been really lucky and we're leading the championship now. But it's so competitive, there's sometimes 22 cars within 1 second.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Fantastic.
Tanner, how much can you see? Two-part question. How much can you see when you're behind the wheel? It's hard enough to keep track of your own car, but how much are you aware of the field? And how much help do you have or are you allowed to have in a headset?
You're allowed to have help in the headset. They can kind of tell you if you're clear or not on certain corners to take a normal line rather than protect your own line. But you really can't see much from in the car. The mirrors are tiny. I really can't see behind at all.
Sweet.
But you kind of have it's like playing a video game where you have a drone car. And you can tell when you get a good exit out of a corner, you can tell you've pulled away a little bit from the guy behind you. If you make a mistake, you can kind of feel that the drone car is starting to catch up with you a little bit. So you can sense where they are.
Now when you're coming up to the jump, you can't see the other side, right?
No, it's just blue sky coming over the jump.
That's crazy.
You hope you got the speed right and wait for the landing.
I'd love to know what percentage of civilians who sit in the seat next to you would literally pee themselves if they went on one of these rally races with you. I just can't even imagine what that would be like for a person not familiar with it to sit and see what you do every time.
I don't, you know, it sounds like some sort of diaper commercial to me.
Yeah, there's
something to that.
And I don't think we want to probe that one any deeper.
No. So Saturday, starting at 1 at Lot 7, you're going to be in the rally car race. And then the rally car rally cross is going to be Sunday at 2, also in Lot 7. And, of course, as usual, and we've talked about this all week long, everybody seems to be healthy. Everybody seems to be in for X Games 17. You got the toughest competition you've ever had this year.
That's for sure. You know, X Games has upped it every single year. I'm not just changing and evolving the format, but now there's two car events, like you said, one on Saturday at 1 and one on Sunday at 2, and they are packed. I mean, we've got a lot of European drivers. Marcus Grönholm, in my opinion, one of the top five drivers ever to walk the earth, and it's everybody's got hardcore equipment, a lot of manufacturer-supported teams, and it's going
to
be brutal.
One last question. How many cars do you bring to this event?
In the Ford camp, we have four Fiestas. I just have the one and a lot of guys with a lot of wrenches in hand ready to fix what breaks.
You just have one car.
Do you drive it down to X Games or do you tow it so you don't accidentally get into a fender bender on the way?
Yeah, no, they're not very street legal, but it was cool last night to drive it in the streets of New York and Letterman. So my car's actually in a trailer huffing it back here to get back in time for X Games.
Nice. Unbelievable. Well, your events are some of the highlights of the whole weekend, Tanner, and we always enjoy having you on the Kevin and Bean Show. Please follow along. If you can't be there in person, and you should be, by the way, because these events are great live, you can watch tons of coverage on ESPN, all their various channels, and some of it on ABC, too. And, of course, so you can get details at Ticketmaster.com/ESPN if you want to go there in person. You're awesome, Tanner. Thanks for coming on, man.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Good luck this weekend. Thank you. Whatever you do, don't tune out now, because Ralph Garman has late-breaking Antiques Roadshow news coming up in the next Showbiz Beat in
unless,
about 15 minutes
unless
or so.
We can figure something else out. All right, let's talk about Adele Rolling in the Deep. We were talking earlier this morning about how what a big song it is. So big that they play it on every single type of radio station, and then other bands start doing it, like Linkin Park. And then John Legend did it.
We could have had it all. Your wish you never have met.
And then Mike Posner.
We could have had it all. Rolling in the deep.
Well, those are the bands. There's Cage the Elephant. There's a bunch of others, too. But
it is amazing. Very rarely does a massive hit like this come that is played all over the world on every format of radio, and everybody seems to love it. Nobody ever seems to get tired of it. I think it was number one in the U.S. chart for like 10, 11, 12 weeks or something crazy like that, and everybody loves it.
And now the other bands are covering it, and people still aren't tired of it.
Yeah.
Well, those were the bands. That was Linkin Park and John Legend and Mike Posner and those kind of people. These are celebrities now. Apparently celebrities are getting in on the act.
What?
Because it's the hip thing to do, just to do a cover of Adele's Rolling in the Deep.
Are you talking about other singers or other
celebrities?
No,
I'm talking celebrities.
Really?
I'm talking celebrities like Harrison Ford.
Oh,
would you like
no.
to hear a little of Harrison Ford?
Yes,
here's
I would.
Harrison Ford singing Rolling in the Deep.
The scars of your love got me lost. They keep me thinking. Almost had me all. The scars of your love keep me breathing. I couldn't help feeling. We could have had it all.
Yeah, belt it.
He makes me forget Adele. See, now that's what real soul sounds like. Adele is a poser compared to that guy who lived it.
All I heard was background music. What about the great Al Pacino?
What?
Did you know he's venturing into singing?
I had no idea.
With the cover of Rolling in the Deep?
Oh, the scars of your love remind me of us. They keep me thinking. Oh, we almost had it all. The scars of your love. They keep me breathless. Can't help feeling. We could have had it. Ooh, ah. Rolling in the ooh, ah.
Well, I like that one.
He puts his own spin on it, sure.
You know what just happened? I just realized I don't know any of the words to that song until I heard Al Pacino say them. Arnold Schwarzenegger's free.
Oh, that doesn't make any sense. He's not a singer.
He's got time.
The scars of your love remind me of us. They keep me thinking they almost had it all. The scars of your love, they leave me breathless. I can't help feeling we could have had it all. Rolling in the deep.
You can hear it. hear the regret in his voice. I mean, that's real life for him. He's living that.
That doesn't need to exist.
How about the great Mumford and Sons?
Are you kidding me? How about that?
The scars of your love remind us. They keep me thinking that we almost had it all. The scars of your love, they leave me breathless. And I can't help feeling we could have had it all. Rolling in the deep. Rolling in the deep.
Awesome. Different? Sure.
And of course, if it's celebrities, there's got to be David Bowie in there. Doing his cover of Rolling
in the Deep.
We're rolling in the deep. We're rolling in the deep. We're rolling in the deep. We're rolling in the deep.
So you can see the celebrities.
We're rolling in the deep. We're rolling in the deep. We're rolling in the deep. Rolling, rolling in the deep. We're rolling in the deep.
Know how to leave it alone.
Still rolling in the deep.
That's David Bowie's version.
We're rolling in the deep. Rolling, rolling in the deep.
Leave the rolling in the deep.
We're rolling in the deep.
All right, we got to move on.
Keep rolling in the deep.
Get the idea.
We're rolling in the deep. Rolling, rolling in the deep. Deeper, deeper in the deep. Rolling in the deep, it's real deep.
All right.
It's the deep end, and we're rolling in it. Right. It's deep, it's freaking deep, and we're rolling
in the deep.
Rolling, rolling in the deep.
You are listening to the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 20 minutes till 10.
I don't just say this because it has our name on it, but there are lots of great reasons to check out KevinandBean.com every single day. We put a brand new internet roundup for you today with a lot of terrific stuff. Plus, we also put up a post about there's a picture of an international superstar, and you're not going to believe who it is. You're not going to believe this is the woman you've heard about when you see this picture.
Is it Falco?
Am I lying, Kevin, when I say that?
She's smoking hot.
Is it Falco?
No. Oh. And then when you see the reveal, you go, no, no.
You go, no, right.
Not possible.
A woman you thought was Fug turns out to be super hot. Who knew? Please go to KevinAmin.com right now and check out the picture and tell us what you think. Huh. All right. First, though, Ralph's
got the
show.
Is it Falco?
It's not Falco.
All right. I'm just asking.
I know. For the second time.
Falco was a dude, and he's dead. So there are a lot of reasons why it's not him, Ralph. Okay?
Is it Taco?
Yes. Yes. Yes, it's Taco.
I know Taco's still alive.
Time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
What's going on is the Antiques Roadshow. That's what's going on.
That is that's a terrible show.
It's the best show ever. People, Kevin, you don't understand. People bring stuff from their homes.
But it's their craft.
And they bring it to some sort of convention center or civic auditorium.
What a boring show.
And then a room full of appraisers will sit down with you and say, oh, you know what you have here? You thought this was just a bike horn from your uncle's bike.
Right.
But it turns out this
it's
is made
less than that.
This
it's
is
a piece
made
of crap.
From the rarest metal on earth.
And how often does
and
that
this
happen?
Bulb is actually the bladder of a wombat. See? And it turns out it's worth millions of dollars.
That happens once every 10
happens
seasons?
All the time.
No, the truth is, Kevin, you don't watch the show.
No,
the truth
it's terrible.
Is very rarely do they say, this is worthless.
Yeah.
It's almost always worth something, and it's almost always a surprise to find out what it's worth.
Maybe it's a couple thousand, and you thought it was worth 100. Maybe it's tens of thousands, and you thought maybe it was only a couple thousand.
Maybe you thought it was 1,000, and it's $5.
No, that doesn't happen on the show.
Please.
That would be a bad show if it happened that way.
Show.
It's a great show.
Hey, here's some crap. What's it worth?
So, Antiques Roadshow, it's on PBS, by the way.
This isn't a garage sale in your neighborhood, Kevin. You understand this is a television show that they put on.
A guy selling one mitten.
I have friends.
You can't find the matching one for a nickel.
That's what it sounds like to me.
It's not that.
No thanks. Out.
It's awesome.
Out.
So anyway, they were filming the show this week in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and an old dude brought in his box full of Asian cups. And these aren't athletic supporters for Asian baseball players. These are little cups you drink out of, and they're sculpted out of what turns out to be rhinoceros horn. And the guy started collecting them in the 70s, didn't pay much for them, didn't think they were worth much, but he thought he would bring them in and get them appraised at the Antiques Roadshow, so at least he knew what he had. He has five of these little cups.
Didn't they outlaw that because they were killing elephants just for the...
These are rhinos.
Rhinos, I mean.
Yeah, you can no longer buy a rhinoceros tusk.
or a horn.
I think you're only allowed stuff. To buy and sell them if they're over 100 years old now. I think that's the rule or something like that.
And these are, they were dated sometime, I don't know, 17th, 18th century, but he bought them in the 70s for not much. So he couldn't imagine they'd be worth much. And here is the conversation that goes on between this old man and the appraiser of the Antiques Roadshow.
Well, I started collecting rhinoceros horn carvings back in the early 70s. At the time I bought them, they weren't really worth very much.
I believe a conservative number would be between $1 million and $1,500,000 for this group.
Yeah. Serious?
Yeah.
I'm serious.
Serious.
Boom. Well, I won't have to depend on just Social Security, I guess.
No, you won't, sir. No.
You sure? I am sure.
That's what you get out of the dude, the bad storyteller.
I started getting these cups back in the 70s.
Oh, it's worth over $1 million, maybe $1.5 million, sir.
And then he says, oh. What the F? What, does he ever get excited?
What is
Kevin,
it? What do you need?
The guy
what,
told
what
him
do you need from
million.
The show?
I want that guy to scream and that jump up and run around in circles.
That five old cups this guy had sitting in the bottom of his closet, he was actually sitting on over $1 million worth of merchandise. That wasn't the least bit interesting to you.
It's really not.
Oh, I can't wait till you're dead.
Why does Kevin hate?
It's just not interesting.
Can't wait for you and Bieber to sign a mutual suicide pact.
I don't care about people who have junk and it turns out to be more than they thought. Is it mine? No, I don't care. It sounds like a horrible show.
How can you not care about somebody who had something that he barely paid attention to for 25 years and it's worth $1 million? His whole retirement was in the bottom of his closet. That's an amazing human interest story. It doesn't matter that it happens to be Japanese Rhino cups.
Is every single story like that?
They're all similar.
No, they're not.
They all have value.
This is worth $7.
They're all valued above what these people think. That's the whole point.
Stop it.
And did you hear how dynamic the audio was for the show? It's riveting. It couldn't be any more exciting.
That guy's a hell of a storyteller.
I used to get these cups in the 70s.
I hope one day people hate you the way you hate them, Kevin.
Stop it.
By the way, people
that
hate
day
me.
Has come people, and gone.
People hate me now like that. What are you talking about?
Those days were the late 90s, I think, when those days started.
I've just gotten used to that.
The Parents Television Council, one of our favorite groups, by the way. These are the people who like to tell you what you can and can't watch on television.
Yeah.
They're charming.
There's only a few of them, too. I think there's like two of them, and they just send out mass letters.
Two guys living in a single apartment somewhere in Schenectady. Anyway, they have decided that we should not be able to watch NBC's new show, The Playboy Club, which, is about the early days of the first Playboy Club in Chicago in 1960, I believe it was, when Hefner opened up the club and invented the bunnies that would serve you cocktails at the table. And it's like Mad Men, only it has to do with the Playboy Club. Well, they decided you shouldn't be able to see it. People in Salt Lake City.
Adults shouldn't be allowed to make their own choices like that. Ralph, you know.
People in Salt Lake City have already decided that they won't carry it. The NBC affiliate there said they won't carry it. Sure. And now the Parents Television Council said they are sending letters to NBC, all of their affiliates, urging them not to air the series because it will corrupt the morality of the country.
I go the opposite of that group. If they say don't watch it, I really want to see it.
Yeah. I buy more televisions and I turn them on in various rooms of my house where I'm not watching it just to make sure.
That means there's something good in it.
The president said that if they do air it, they will start to flood the FCC with letters should the show air this fall. Let me tell you something else. I guarantee you these people haven't seen 1 minute of this show.
Of course not. Of course not.
And it's going to be on NBC. It's not like they're going to be showing...
I wish it was going to be on Showtime or HBO.
Right,
you'd
be seeing all kinds of body parts in various states of turgidity. But I'm guessing this is just going to be sexy girls in bustiers and little bunny tails and ears.
That's too much.
And guys drinking scotch. And there'll be a lot of Don Draper lookalikes hanging out of this club. That's what it's going to be. You effing relax, Parents Television Council. Who do we write letters about to stop them? What do we do?
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything you can do.
What year do they think this is that show is somehow going to break new ground of offensiveness, Ralph?
I can't imagine.
Look, here's the thing. I don't care if they want to boycott or whatever or send letters. Fine. But what's happened recently is the FCC and our company and other companies included are taking them very, very seriously as if they are rulers. And we have to say, okay, well, if you say we can't air it, we can't air it. It's the acceptance of them. Usually we go, okay, thanks for your letter.
If there only was a way for these people not to watch that show so it wouldn't bother them.
That's not available to them.
If they could choose just to turn their television to another channel and watch something else.
When that show comes on, your TV turns itself on. That's the thing.
Kevin, you going to write some letters to try to get the Antique Roadshow off the air because it's effing boring?
It's awesome. Because it's too awesome for television. That's what you should write.
But you know what? The truth is, I make a joke, but it's exactly the same. If Kevin wrote that letter and people took it seriously, it would be as absurd as people taking these people seriously with their concerns over the Playboy Club. It's like, don't watch it if you don't like it, period.
It's madness. The Jersey Shore, that's still on television. No one's taking that off. They say if you like that, you will love a brand new reality show that's going to be on August the 11th. It doesn't say here what network's going to carry it, but I'll have to look into it. It's called Russian Dolls. And you know how the Jersey Shore is all about Italian-Americans?
Yes.
This is all Russian-Americans who live in Brighton Beach, Brooklyn, and their time at the beach and how they interact and drink lots of vodka and fight
with
each other.
Are they all hot chicks?
Apparently they are, yes.
Hot Russian chicks?
Russian Dolls is the name of the show.
I'm in.
Debuts August the 11th. If anyone in the office is still listening to the show, if you can find out what network that's going to be on, I'd love to be able to say that here because I just noticed the story does not have that. But the producers promised lots of vodka shots and lots of fighting from the cast. So it sounds like Jersey Shore with a Russian accent.
Is there kissing?
I don't know. I don't even know what network it's on. You want me to know whether there's kissing or not? I don't know.
There is. Let's just start it. There is.
All right. Russian Dolls. That's the name. We got the story there. Look at Muggs being helpful, pulling up that story. It's in the Huffington Post if you want to read the article, but we'll find that out for you.
Oh, look at him.
There's the Russian Dolls.
Except for the one on the right.
Oh, there's a Russian Snooky for you right there, I'll tell you.
Snooky.
Snooksky, we should call her.
She does not do Russia proud.
She is Snooksky. She looks like China, the wrestler. I don't know if I can watch this now.
Well, look at the other two. Look at the middle one.
I know, but
I'm a little
freaked out by Snooksky.
I sure wish this computer would speed up so we could see anything but that photo.
She's wigging me. All right, let's talk about today's celebrity birthdays. Jerry Van Dyke, he was on Coach. Very, very funny, man. He is 80 years old today. Juliana Hatfield turns 44 years old. Julian McMahon from Profile and from Nip and Tuck. We had him in the show once. He could not have been a nicer guy.
Yeah. Super nice.
Julian. He's Australian, too. You don't hear much of an accent when he works, but he is Australian. His dad was the Prime Minister of Australia.
Odd.
How disappointed was he when his son went into acting, by the way? He's 43 years old. Triple H, the wrestler, is 42. Maya Rudolph is 39 years old. Abe Cunningham, drummer of Deftones, is 38. Singer Pete Yorn celebrates his 37th birthday. Alex Rodriguez of the Yankees is 36. And Jonathan Rhys-Meyers, a very talented actor who not only was the lead in The Tudors, I loved that series, but he did a miniseries about Elvis Presley. I know you don't care about Elvis, but if you wanted to see an interesting story of this guy's life, his rise to fame, did a brilliant job as Elvis. I thought he was really good. I think that's available on DVD. You can check that out. He's 34 years old. Do we have a network for Russian Dolls yet? Or did you guys just give up?
It doesn't say.
The guess that I'm hearing, and I said we weren't accepting guesses, but she's almost positive it's Lifetime, is from Casey with her finger on the button. Says the Lifetime channel is where it's going.
Well, there you go.
She's pretty accurate.
So
she usually knows what's going on, so I think I accept
August,
that.
Look for Snooksky and the other Russian Dolls in Brighton Beach there and see how that goes. The middle one kind of looks like ScarJo. Looks a little like a Scarlett Johansson, like a blonde Scarlett Johansson in the middle
even
one.
Even hotter, though.
Russian chicks are something because half of them are just like supermodels, most beautiful women in the world, and the other half look like Russian men. So it can be very scary.
Right might be a man. I'm
look
not
like
sure.
Like Borscht. Yeah. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow morning, an all-new program. We have Dr. Drew with our weekly visit.
Okay.
Not a doctor.
Totally a doctor. Celeb Rehab is HLN show. We have Chad Kagi, who we're going to talk to about the X Games. He's in BMX Big Air, which is crazy to see those guys going down that ramp on their bikes. Self-surgeries tomorrow. We read a story of a person who had a hernia and tried to fix it, not with a sharp knife, but a butter knife.
Trying to take out a hernia in his stomach.
I mean, you really have to. It just takes a lot of cutting motion with a butter knife.
I'd like to pick maybe he was just trying to spread the hernia back into his intestines.
I don't know.
I'm
excited to get into that story because anyone who does the surgery outside because there's going to be a lot of blood maybe should reconsider doing the surgery.
He was nude outside on a lawn chair, I think. That's where he was doing the surgery.
Well, look. You got to do it somewhere.
And to cauterize the bleeding, I believe he used his own cigarette. He stuck his cigarette into the wound to try to stop the bleeding.
Do you know that for sure?
Yes, that is in the story.
That is true.
When they showed up, he had stuck his own cigarette inside the wound to try to cauterize the bleeding so he wouldn't bleed out.
This guy should be our next president.
I want him to be my doctor, that's for sure.
Brand new feature tomorrow called Captain Minutia. which I think you'll enjoy. And we've got Steve Carell.
How about that?
From Crazy Stupid Love, we're going to talk to Steve Carell, and we've got your tickets for L.A. Rising tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and